Tonight, the AV Club's director of Game of Thrones facts, John Tatey, rides sidecar. Then later, Dave Lundy breaks down the Benghazi report. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
How much more, Craig? How much more? What do we really have going on tonight after midnight? For real. Did you read the letter that I wrote in response? I want to give everyone a heads up, and I am including my guest tonight, the editor-in-chief of the AV Club. We have a kind of a historical moment on the show coming up in a little while, and we've been meaning to get to this actually for a while. But if you have any concerns, if there are words that make you a little bit, get you like, I don't say that word, you can directly thank a woman named Marianne from Wisconsin. So Marianne, we are dedicating our record-breaking segment coming up later in the show. And if you live in Wisconsin, Marianne, I'm sure would love to hear from you. You can thank her. I bet she's looking forward to all kinds of people reaching out to her and letting her know how much she has impacted the show tonight. And I'm sure that she'll be very proud of what she's accomplished. Because I know I am. I'm very proud of what we're setting out to do tonight.
That's why you should be.
Thank you very much. I am very much so. So, hi, Marianne. I hope you're doing well. Please
stay tuned. That's quite emissive. Be sure to stay tuned for that.
I'm almost giddy about it.
Yeah, I can tell.
Wait, I mean,
you're always raring for a fight.
It's not a fight. It's an engagement. It's a tangling. It's a tussle. I like a tussle.
Yeah, you do.
I do like a dance. I consider it more of a gleeful dance on my part.
Okay.
But by the way, Marianne, just so you know, my whole family is waiting for this, so I can't wait. They're gonna hear it tomorrow too. My son Griffin was like, "Yeah, tell her I'm good with this."
Oh, well, Marianne wanted you to share it with your son.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah,
she said,
"Be pleased."
Yeah, she was hoping that I shared it. Be sure your sons know about it. Brag about it. And I didn't brag. I never bragged to them. They've seen the award that I have for this in this regards.
So. Oh, the listeners must be on tenterhooks right now. I'm glad I know.
Am I mistaken that what we're going to talk about later is actually prominent in the Game of Thrones finale? Penises? Are penises involved in the Game of Thrones finale?
In the finale? No,
I don't know.
Am I forgetting something, Craig?
I don't know. I was reading other people's threads when it came to Game of Thrones. And it was something about if you attack women enough, they will beat you with your own penis.
Okay. Well, there was none of that. That's just a metaphor.
Then I would watch. Wouldn't you, Esmeralda?
If they were attacking them with penises?
Yeah, okay, wait. With their own penises.
The women in Game of Thrones took over this week, though. Mm-hmm. Every single woman on Game of Thrones is now in a power position.
Oh, there you go.
Well,
but that's not really beating them with their own body parts.
No, that's not beating them with their own body parts. But for sure, all of the main characters that are female are now in the power positions on the show.
Yeah, those penises are gone.
Yeah, they're very gone.
Except Sansa.
Sansa, I think, is still going to wind up in a power position somehow. Mm.
Yeah, but how did that end? It ended with her staring at Littlefinger and then thinking, boy, Jon Snow's in charge.
That's
he
true.
Snuck it in there, Patty. He snuck in some Game of Thrones.
No, I did. I brought it up.
Yeah, you asked for it.
But before we move into the Game of Thrones realm, because it is important, I think, to address, is it a plural of penis, penises, or peni? This is a conversation that came up today while I was writing my response.
Penises, yeah.
I think
we
so, too.
We do not live in ancient Rome, so penises is fine.
That's probably a good
if
thing.
Only we did.
No, like they did weird things.
You like modern Chicago better
I
than
do
ancient Rome.
Love me some modern Chicago.
I think that's right. And I think that's what I would choose.
And the use of the word penises goes much better that way. And we'll discuss more about why I'm teasing that segment coming up after midnight.
Yeah, it's not much of a tease at this point. You're really
no, it's not really. I mean, perhaps I should explain it to you as well and our listeners. Craig and I hold a very specific record.
Very specific.
Yes, and one of the reasons we strove to set that record was in response to people just cringing over another word, and we wondered whether we would get the same response if we used the word penis instead.
Mm.
And instead, we did not get. We got like one person that said that we were being immature.
Oh no, we got like pretty much no response.
No response, except for the woman who couldn't find the dinging.
John, we used the word vagina maybe two or three times mm-hmm. within a segment and got multiple complaints.
Oh, and like for weeks, for months,
yeah.
It was on like those radio like message boards that I was obsessed with vaginas.
Somewhat surreal. And then Patty actually hosted a show during a primetime mm-hmm. slot and said the word penis 27 times or something within one segment.
We did it 68. Was it
68 times within in the whole 69. Half hour. Yeah.
Yeah, 69, something like that.
And
we'll
certainly set a record.
You made it to 68 times. 69. Why you couldn't have done one more? It would have been perfect.
I hope it was 69. We have the audio. We'll play a little bit of it
later. Yeah, we have that, but we got no complaints for that, so that was interesting.
Except that we were being immature, I think, was the only
thing. Is this
thing.
The only record you've ever set?
One person did complain about the number of bells that we had to play, mm-hmm. because every time you said penis, we did play a bell.
Oh, they complained about the bell.
They
sure,
got confused as to why the bell was playing so
because,
often.
Well, because she had packed up her Christmas decorations and thought for sure she had left something on. So she was going from room to room trying to find where the dinging was coming
where
from.
Where her alarm was getting set off.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Poor thing.
And then, but she had her radio on in every room she was going into. So no matter where she went, the dinging was still...
Wow, what a listener. So she had a whole house full of WGN.
Yes. Oh, I do too. I have WGN.
On multiple radios?
I have it in my bedroom, my kitchen, my bathroom, and I mean, why would you go to the bathroom without WGN?
Well, but that just seems... carry a thing around with you, a little boombox.
This is weird, the things that you're saying.
Then how do you hold your penis?
That's a ding. That's a ding.
That's Esmeralda gets to set her own record. We can do a penis record for Esmeralda.
A side one.
Do you have any thoughts on how you'll raise Leo when it comes to using language? Because this actually came up in this letter.
Well, I don't really think of this as language in that sense. You know, like I am not offended by either of these words.
Right.
Right.
But will you say, will you use nicknames for his anatomy? Like, you know, your willy, you know,
well,
your dingle?
I think we'll use a mix of nicknames and the real word. Give me some more. I like how.
Sure. Dingle, dangle, oodle, noodle.
Noodle is one.
Noodle's good.
One. This may be now too blue, but we'll just.
Oh, yeah.
We're
very apprehensive about how blue you're going to get.
Well, I had a habit, as many little boys do, of playing. Mm-hmm. With my noodle, and my parents always used to say, "Oh, Johnny's tootling his noodle." Again.
Oh, he's tootling his noodle.
It's like Dr. Seuss.
That is very Seussian of them. Yeah. I love that. Tootling his noodle. Craig, what did your parents ever? Like, how did your parents catch you tootling your noodle?
Yeah, how did
John?
They catch you tootling your noodle?
Well, I wasn't very. I mean, it wasn't like I was, you know, a little baby. So.
Oh,
you know,
I see.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Not like. I mean, they didn't catch me when I was like 14 years old, although I did not shake my tootling habit, but I was more private about it.
You would think for me, after getting caught once, that would be enough to teach me my lesson. But, you know, I mean, like, yeah. I didn't have much privacy growing up, so I got caught.
Like Sally Draper on Mad Men. I just rewatched that episode the other night.
Yeah, well, it happens. I mean, you get curious, you know, you want to tickle your flower. See, I don't have anything good to rhyme with any of the.
No.
No, there's no good.
Tickle
stuff.
Your nickel.
No.
Nope. See? Mm-mm. That doesn't work.
Like, I never liked the phrase flicking your bean. That's always strange. That seems a little aggressive. Like, you're hurting it.
It does. Flicking. That's bad technique.
It does. Yeah, oh, it's awful technique. It's, you know, I don't know another way. Yeah, there's no good. If anyone has a better one, they're welcome to text or call us 312-981-7200. I'm more than happy. This was actually a request.
Paddling the pink canoe.
Oh, paddling the pink. That's such a long way to go. Oh,
really
Paddy's.
Is.
Patty's paddling her pink canoe again.
Patty, are you dialing the rotary phone? I have 21 of them.
Do you have? Oh, you have them. You Googled them?
Yeah, I found a list. Yeah.
Oh,
this is from Huffington
All right,
Post.
Go ahead.
Oh, of
really?
Course it is. Yeah.
What do you mean, jilling really? Off. Jilling off. Okay.
Yeah, you're jilling off. I guess that would be the difference between Jack. Engaging in safe sex, apparently, is number 8 on this list.
Okay.
That's
getting
terrible.
Lost, getting lost getting... in the deep end.
Okay.
Number 14, you're having a girl's night in.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Number 13, you're fanning the fur.
Well, that's not really
that
accurate.
Depends.
I'm not sure what this one means, but number 12 is doing a Meg Ryan.
Oh, I see. Oh, yes, the scene from When Harry Met Sally.
Yes.
Okay, number 19.
But that's not faking it.
I'm jumping all over the place, but number 19, you're knitting.
Oh, knitting. That's aggressive as well.
Number
that's
18, like... visiting the Batcave.
No.
Buttering your muffin?
Buttering?
Buttering. That would be
buttering. That just makes me hungry.
Yeah.
The More downstairs after... DJ?
Oh, because you're spinning records?
Yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I have more.
Go ahead. I want
them. Checking the undercarriage.
Oh, that's more like when I go to the doctor.
Diddling Miss Daisy.
Oh.
Playing piano?
I think actually driving Miss Daisy
driving
is fine.
Driving Miss Daisy would be absolutely fine.
Yeah. We don't need to diddle. Driving.
Number 6 on this list, auditioning the finger puppets.
No.
Okay.
No.
Visiting the safety deposit box.
No.
All right.
Just always feel like I have it.
Ménage à moi.
Ménage à moi. Oh,
that
I think
would be correct.
Yeah. It's a toss up between Driving Miss Daisy and Ménage à
moi. I like Driving Miss Daisy.
I like Driving Miss Daisy. I don't have time for that right now. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is the editor-in-chief of the AV Club, and a couple of shows premiered over the last week you just mentioned.
Sunday night was a packed night because I did I watched Game of Thrones finale at the office, and then we did a quick turnaround Facebook Live about the Game of Thrones, and then I went home. I sped home to see the new Match Game and Pyramid with Alec Baldwin and Michael Strahan, respectively. And I'm so tickled to tell you this, Patty, that they're both really good.
Really?
No. Believe.
You watch them?
The Michael Strahan thing can't be as good as the Game of Thrones finale.
Oh, no. That was
those
a toss out there.
Spheres.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Wow,
yeah,
it's funny. Like, Craig, you're something.
I was so protective. Yes, I was.
I saw Craig write that Game of Thrones is the best show on TV. And
It is the best show on TV.
This is coming from a guy who doesn't know what a beach is.
Yeah, that's true. I know what a beach is. It's just something. East and West Coast.
Well, you guys are free associating all over the place.
I know. I thought you might say that.
No, but the Game of Thrones finale was incredible, right?
So how good was Match Game?
Okay, or that.
Yeah. Game of Thrones finale was incredible, but
He can't keep up with our train of thought. I like that.
I was more surprised. I was not surprised that the Game of Thrones finale was incredible because I think it's been a really good season, actually. And there's been people who have criticized the season of Game of Thrones and said it's become too much about big moments and whatnot. But
I haven't heard that many complaints about the show. I've heard more, maybe people I follow seem to like it.
Did you notice
people like it? Yeah, but I think that the show's actually gotten really good at executing these big moments, and no better example than Sunday night when we had this Cersei blowing up the church, the Sept of Baelor, to begin the episode, and just
one of the many women who took complete control of a situation, Cersei. But did you notice the moment where Sam was in the library?
The word you would use?
Well, yeah, because she killed all the people that she didn't like. All the people that were angry with
her. With a huge explosion.
Spoiler alert.
No.
This is only 2 days out.
Patty, though, like, Cersei took complete control of a situation by murdering all the people that were against her.
Was that enough of a spoiler alert for people who...
Spoiler alert! She murdered a lot of... It's within the first
days.
10 minutes
it's
of the episode.
It's the biggest TV show in the country
right now,
so I think we're...
A lot of
their fault. It's on them for not watching
it. Really I really think that.
Okay,
yeah.
I agree. Elliot Serrano was saying the same thing in his review.
Oh, was he? Good. But what I'm really here to talk about is the Match Game,
is that what you've been waiting? You've been waiting since Sunday.
They've revived Match Game a couple times since the 70s. They did it in 1990 and again in 1998 to 99, I think, that season. And it just was not the same. And people have said for a long time, people who care about game shows, well, you can't really revive Match Game because it depends on that 70s milieu. And I've always said that's nonsense. You just have to get it right and return to the format that they used in the 70s, which is exactly what ABC did. They have a set that's faithful to the original. It's got moving parts. Game show sets should have moving parts. They should have spinning seats and big boards and all that. And this set has got it. Alec Baldwin is great as host.
Does he have a really long, narrow...
He has the long
mic.
I mean, they've paid such great attention to detail here, but updated it so it feels fresh and current. The writing
like
was
not
really
a costume.
Sharp.
Like they're not putting something on. They're stepping into
it. It's not like they're like, ooh, 70s kitsch. You know, we're pretending to be in the wacky 70s. It's, you know, it pays tribute to that aesthetic, but it feels modern and updated. And I can't believe how well produced it is. And it's just a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to watching that. Then it's got to be available somewhere for me to catch up.
I would think it
is
would
it
be
ABC?
On ABC on demand.
Yeah, they have
on their app.
Yes.
Yeah. And
right, who are their like B-list? Do they use B-list actors and actresses?
Yeah, sure. Okay. The panel was Titus Burgess, Rosie O'Donnell, Michael Ian Black, Deborah Messing.
Nice. That's not necessarily all B-list.
No.
Maybe not as prominent. You know, not Will and Grace isn't on.
Yeah,
but it's Deborah Messing.
She's delightful.
Yes.
J.B. Smoove and Sutton Foster was the panel.
I don't know the first and last
one. I don't know who she is.
I don't know who Titus Akins is.
Titus Burgess is on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Do you watch that at all?
Yeah, I've watched two episodes of it. It's very good.
He's Titus. On
the big black dude?
Yeah.
Who performs in Times Square.
Titus Andromedon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right. Okay, Esmeralda's a fan. Esmeralda, did you see the match game?
I didn't.
Well, check it out. Titus is really good on it.
And I love Michael Ian Black, so.
Oh, he's wonderful. He's very good. I like him a lot, too.
And Alec Baldwin was delightful, you said?
Alec Baldwin seemed a little nervous, a little stiff at first, but you know, after a few minutes, he got into it. And unfortunately, they have these sort of canned jokes for him to read with the contestants, which go over like a lead balloon. But then once he gets into the sort of improvising part of it, then he was really strong. And he's a great host. I was surprised. I wasn't sure if, you know, I've heard his podcasting before and whatever, so I knew that he knew how to host a talk show, let's say, but he really ran the game show very well.
Oh, cool.
And
that's
he was
fun.
Into it. And I was totally charmed by Michael Strahan as host of The Pyramid, which is similarly faithful to the most popular version of that, which was in the 80s.
And who was that hosted by originally?
Dick Clark.
It was. Oh, that's right. It was.
Yeah.
What I always think of somebody with like sort of very feathery dark hair, another game show host. I always think there were a lot of like feather haired, almost permed haired hosts in the 70s and 80s.
Clark was the original host. He hosted most versions, but it's also been hosted by Bill Cullen, John Davidson, Donny Osmond, and even the executive producer of The Price is Right had a version on Game Show Network a few years ago. I forget what his last name is.
Did John Davidson also do Hollywood Squares?
Very good, yes. Okay. He did an 80s version of the Hollywood Squares with Joan Rivers in the center square.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And you know who was Jim J. Bullock? I loved Jim J. Bullock.
Jim J. Bullock was so much fun on
that
show.
He was adorable.
He was adorable.
On that show. So it'll be interesting to see who they bring in for both of these shows. And what kind of cloth. I mean, what is your sense of the... You know, the sort of lastability, I guess, of it's not really a word, but I'll just.
No. How well they'll endure. I have a feeling.
Endurability? Yeah, it doesn't work either for me.
Well, durability. Yeah,
I guess.
Well, that's not quite what it is it?
Yeah, ability to last.
What is the lasting power of these shows? That's the question, right? I see they're set up, they're hour long, but they're really just 2 half-hour episodes back to back, each of them. So I think these are basically backdoor syndication pilots. I think that they could easily turn this match game into a syndicated daytime show again. I don't know if they still have Alec Baldwin as host, but I think that's what they're setting up here. They have this fun weekend summertime thing.
High profile,
and then you turn it into a syndicated strip, which is where the real money is.
For 5 days a week.
Exactly.
Something for kids to stay home and watch.
Right. And just a half hour, not the back-to-back hour format.
What are the popular game shows? Still The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal. How are those doing?
Those do very well for CBS. Of course, Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune and syndication. And Family Feud is big.
Steve Harvey is doing great.
Doing great. Occasionally beats Wheel of Fortune. Not all the time, but once in a while. And Millionaire is still kicking around, too.
I did not know that was still on.
Yeah, Daytime Millionaire.
Okay, if you say so.
Hosted by the host of The Bachelor, Bachelorette.
I don't know who that is.
Neither do I, or else I would have said his name.
Chris Harrison.
Thank you. Very good, Craig. There
I watch those shows.
All right, then. we're going to talk a little bit in a few minutes after the news. I want to talk about the headlines today. I know the big story, there are a lot of big stories today, but the biggest one is the terrorist attack in Turkey. But we don't have, it's so strange. Like, I'm not really great at talking about, as far as getting into the nuts and bolts and the ideas, there's a lot of fear when it comes to terrorist attacks. There's even what happened in Paris, the shooting in Orlando. We kind of discuss it more in the fallout rather than the immediacy of it is kind of my approach to it. Whatever we had planned for the show is what I wanted to talk about tonight. We have John Tatey on the show, and coming up after the news, I do want to talk about the reports that do they call it the investigation or the, I think it was the final report from the House of Reps, in regards to Benghazi and the
House Select Committee report.
The House Select, and I want to talk about the different headlines. And it's amazing to me how quickly everyone's taking their own cherry picking.
I'm excited to talk about this because I noticed when you said that during the commercial break, I had noticed the same thing.
Yes.
You know, you're just clicking around looking at the different headlines on it. And I think it's symbolic of what this whole Benghazi thing is that you just project whatever you're predisposed to project on it.
Yes.
That's what the story becomes.
It seems to me to sort of either validate or a lot of people are like, see, told you so. It seems like everyone is saying, see, I told you so.
Right.
So let's just say that, I guess. See, I told you so. More after this on 720 WGN. We'll be right back. host Patty Vasquez, using words like a big girl. Joining me in studio is John Tatey, the editor-in-chief of the AV Club. He joins us every Tuesday night to talk all things audiovisual and otherwise. I mean, I don't know what else is left. Yeah. But we also tonight have a special guest with us. First time on my show. Right?
It is the first time.
Like, even on my Sunday version of my
right.
show?
Right. No, no. I'm in my regular chair.
I apologize.
For my Touche segment. But there's nobody on Michigan Avenue. Like, they're normal.
Those dudes.
There's somebody.
There's
right.
that guy.
Hey, there's a guy.
Yeah. They're picking up the scaffolding, which
right.
is exciting.
Hi.
For all
he
of
waved.
Us.
That was nice.
That was very nice. Hello.
It's just a little different than, you know, at 7:30 when everybody's buzzing around.
I know. And well, and you are the you know what? Everyone that comes on my show that's part of a team is the better half.
Yes.
So you are the better half of Touche, a regular segment. On Justin Kaufman's show.
And Chris Roebling is sound asleep, so he wouldn't yes. know anyway when you said that.
Then, and even if you weren't, I have
you'd
no,
be right.
I have no concerns about that. First time I met you, you were part of the best damn political team, period, with Steve Cochran's show. I have not heard from Jason Santos either. I haven't.
Jason is around. In fact, he heard the show last night and tweeted about what a great job Roebling and I did. Clearly, he just met me.
Yeah, I think he meant just you. And you're also the president of Alaron Communications. I reached out to you earlier today when I started seeing all these headlines about the results of the reports on Benghazi from the Select Committee of the House of Representatives. I'm pointing at John because he was the one that put the correct words in my head. And some of the headlines I read were no new information about Hillary Clinton's failure and like that kind of stuff. Or
No smoking gun.
And almost some headlines that were kind of like, you know, not to the point where it exonerated her, but like it was good news for her. And other ones were like, proves that she's a horrible human being. Were basically the gist of the headlines I saw.
Right. Or I believe reprehensible human being. Morally reprehensible was the way one of the unbiased GOP committee members described her in the press conference announcing this unbiased study
yes.
of Benghazi.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
What has been your take on this? Because they spent, as you mentioned earlier today, I saw some of the things that you were writing, almost $10 million
right.
on investigations.
On just this one.
Just this,
this
one.
Is, this is the ninth.
Right.
This is the ninth committee. You know, it's funny because I was in preparing for tonight, I was looking over some of the old stories from some of the previous investigations. And what's been really interesting is that, you know, the last big investigation was by the House Intelligence Committee, which I believe that was the one led by Daryl Issa, mm-hmm. Who, if folks don't recall, is definitely not a friend of the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And that report, when it came out in November of 2014, basically the headlines were there was no lying, there was nothing incriminating here on Hillary Clinton, that no, the military consistently said that they could not have rescued these folks.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Stevens was reported to be dead within 20 minutes of the attack occurring, which was 4:00 p.m. Washington time.
Right.
Donald Trump, of course, just last week claimed that she was asleep in her bed when the attacks occurred. And it's hard to keep up with the lies, but the thing about the Benghazi report that came out today is that it had some interesting details about how the military planes never actually moved in the direction of Benghazi, and there were some other details, but fundamentally the story is the same. You had mistakes that were made in the intelligence community, that there were mistakes that were made in terms of defending inadequate security at the embassies.
Right.
That Chris Stevens on his own decided to go to Benghazi because he was so committed to expanding the mission, and he thought it would be important to have a consulate in Benghazi. And so this was a classic bureaucratic mess.
Was there funding cut to that plan for Chris Stevens to have a presence in Libya? Were there cuts to being there?
Well, I don't think that the issue is about cuts to that embassy per se. It's the broader issue of there were requests made to the House to increase funding for embassy security, repeated requests, and those requests were denied.
So preventative, this is kind of one of those, preventative was denied, so reactive is being criticized.
Correct.
Okay.
But I don't want to, I mean, look, I don't want to cut the administration total slack on this one.
Yeah, why wasn't he there for a debriefing and for getting the terrorist information? Did he skip that? Wasn't there a briefing he was supposed to be there?
You know, the thing is that suggests there was one briefing, and there were constant briefings. The president's briefed on a daily basis on terror threats around the world. The Republicans like to take one little data point and turn that into a conspiracy. They do it time and time and time again. And of course, with the Clintons, they've been doing it for decades.
I was going to ask you, do you have a number? Does anybody have a number how much money has been spent investigating the Clintons?
Okay, that's weird. You must have been tapping my phone on my way downtown here. I was talking to my good buddy, Ken Jacobowski, and he was saying, hey, I wonder how much money has been spent on investigations over the years.
Yeah.
And
we were
actually tallying it up. Mm-hmm. Well, Ken Starr was $30 million. That was the big Whitewater investigation that turned into Monica Lewinsky.
Mm-hmm.
And that was $30 million in 1996 dollars. So you figure
that's all taxpayer money.
All taxpayer money.
So something that's not necessary.
This is the ninth Benghazi investigation, but it's legitimate to investigate. This
Absolutely.
Was a national, I don't want to say disaster, that's too strong a word, but it was a tragedy.
It was absolutely a national tragedy. Yeah.
And a national security.
And how do we prevent it? What can we learn from it? Are obviously important. You know, how we could have prevented it. There are a lot of different ways to go on that.
Absolutely. But you look back at the number of U.S. and consular officials who were killed in their posts abroad over the course of various presidencies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I believe, 11 under George W. Bush. It was 10 under Bill Clinton. It was 33 under Ronald Reagan. I mean, this sadly happens.
How many under President Obama?
Seven.
Seven.
I think five. Yeah, it was seven or eight. I believe it was seven, though.
So what makes this the one? Was it partly the sort of the initial fallout of it was a video? Was it a terrorist attack? You know, is it Hillary Clinton? How many under her position as Secretary?
It was just Benghazi.
It was the only one under her.
I believe that's correct.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but even that issue, the video versus not, and one of the other unbiased Congress. Folks who came out today and announced the report had done a special thing where he put side by side timelines of what they were learning and what they were saying publicly.
Right.
Well, anybody who's ever had to respond to a crisis knows you don't say everything you know or you think you know or you're speculating about right away. You wait until you get some actual intelligence. And
right.
the first unified intelligence assessment, this was put out by the Democrats, the minority members of the committee, 6 months ago, the first unified assessment that was done that led to the Susan Rice talking points specifically said, well, we thought it was terrorism early on, but it turns out that the video may have played a larger role because the terrorist group that had claimed responsibility, it turned out, didn't do it.
Okay.
So there was clearly confusion in the initial days. And the whole what has always bugged me about this conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm a Republican, I'm going to say this was all because they were trying to say bin Laden is dead and GM is alive. And so the president, as part of his reelection campaign, had to prove that there was no terrorism going on. That was nonsense. He was never claiming that. He never said that.
Right.
But that was the premise for why they lied in the 5 days, you know, 5 days after the attack. Susan Rice did the full Ginsburg. She went on all five of the Sunday shows. And she said that was named for Justice Ginsburg, the guy would be Justice Ginsburg who smoked pot and then went on the five shows and wound up having to get moved. Sorry, that I'm going back a few decades.
I kinda love that.
That wouldn't happen these days. But but when she did that, she went on the Sunday shows. She reported what was in that first unified intelligence assessment.
Right.
They were wrong. It surprised me when she said it. I remember calling friends saying, why did she do that?
It the need to say something, the feeling compelled?
Well, they had to.
Right.
I mean, the American people want to be satisfied. You know, the media needs to be sated and the people need to be sated and they want to know what's going on. And so she came out. She gave her statement. It was the talking points were constructed straight off of those that unified intelligence assessment. They were wrong. Guess what? It happens.
When intelligence information is wrong, like let's say somebody testifies and says we know they have weapons of mass destruction or chemical warfare and holds up a vial and says that if they have this and we go to war over that, are there any investigations as far as that goes?
Yeah, I think there was one, maybe two or three, but I don't believe there were nine.
So Dick Cheney and George Bush and Colin Powell, everyone's saying that we know that we are, not only do we know, and when we do go to war, we're gonna get the oil, and we'll be able to pay for and fund the war with that oil, like all those things.
You clearly didn't have the proper training.
I'm just curious,
to remove those thoughts from your brain. You're not supposed to remember that stuff.
But there was a vial. He said that.
Powell was at the UN, and I believe he considers that one of his greatest shameful acts of his public career.
Dave, let me ask you this. You mentioned how Whitewater turned into Monica Lewinsky, and of course the Benghazi investigations yielded this email server treasure trove, an issue that they could beat us all into submission with. And one detail that interests me about this investigation is the whole controversy over the Sidney Blumenthal transcripts coming out and how they refused to release those. And my feeling is that that was another fishing expedition, and that it would have been evident in the transcripts if they came out that that's what this was. Is that
well? And in fact, the Democrats, in their pre-buttal report that came out yesterday. Released a lot of the Sidney Blumenthal transcripts. Hmm. Unfortunately, they did apparently a fairly sloppy job of making their PDFs, because they inadvertently didn't realize you had to lock the PDFs down. So they redacted certain things that people were like, well, I can remove that redaction.
No.
So, for example, what they were able to demonstrate in this. Yeah, the big gaping.
I'm sorry, my jaw
is agape.
I'm sorry.
So Republicans were trying to embarrass Sidney Blumenthal and Hillary Clinton by demonstrating that Blumenthal had gotten a big fat contract through one of Hillary's buddies, David Brock, from Media Matters. And in fact, he has gotten contracts from David Brock. So they went down this fishing expedition, which what that had to do with Benghazi and embassy security, I didn't quite follow.
Right.
But they were convinced Sidney Blumenthal was the problem. So they did that. But then with the redactions, they had redacted the amount of money he said he was making, but they did it poorly. So somebody just removed the redaction and said $200,000 a year approximately in contracts through various David Brock agencies. So these transcripts came out. Again, there's no there. I mean, I had somebody on Facebook tonight say to me, do you realize, there's an airbase 800 miles away. They could have sent warplanes. Well, Leon Panetta and three other generals all testified before these committees. Yeah, what good would that have done? That would not have accomplished anything. Well, this guy on Facebook said, well, but you could have sent an AC-130 warship for close ground support. Yeah, close ground support supports troops.
Not an embassy.
You can't just blow stuff up and hope it's going to be okay and that the person you want to survive is not in the place you just blew up.
No, we just do that with drone attacks. 312-981-7200. Give us a call if you want to join the conversation. You can also text us. I know that, again, I wanted to, have a different take than I've been hearing throughout the day. So I wanted, whether it's here or on television or on Facebook, obviously there are a lot of thoughts going around. So more with Dave Lundy. He is the better half of Touche, heard every Monday night on Justin Kaufman's show, and he's also the president of Aileron Communications. We also have John Tatey, the editor-in-chief of the AV Club, and I think we all feel, like there's more to learn here, as much as there are in the reports, as the sort of instincts to go after, Hillary. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Off the air, I was talking about how uncomfortable I've been in the past watching Hillary Clinton speak and when she was campaigning in 2008. And I don't know if it's because she now has a nomination. Actually, leading into the weeks before her nomination, it seemed as though she was kind of hitting her stride a little bit. And I think for me, watching her for hours, I didn't watch the entire, obviously, when she was testifying. It was 11 hours she was testifying.
Oh, I did.
You watched the entire 11 hours?
I did.
In real time?
Watched or heard.
Did you take potty breaks when she did? Like, how often was she?
Actually were some decent breaks in there.
There were, I would imagine. Yeah. But that was significant.
These days you can pause live television, so.
Yeah, I'm sure she wanted to pause. Could we just... Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
No. What she kept doing, I kept wondering what that gesture was, and I realized she was reaching for the fast forward button to try to get through it all.
And get to the end of the question.
Exactly.
Because I'm one of those people that has to finish other people's sentences. So I can imagine being asked, okay, what is it? I would want to finish their questions for them.
Right, exactly.
Let's pick up the pace,
and you
boys.
Saw that look. That look in her face during that testimony when she'd be like, okay, I know where you're going. I know what I'm going to say. Could you just finish this question instead of filibustering a question at me?
Yes. Yeah. Is there a question or is it your opinion? Right. 10 minutes of opinion to get to the question. We have Rich on the line who has a comment and a question. Hey, Rich, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing tonight, Patty?
Thank you.
Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, ask your guest. My wife and I are watching movies. We watched that movie, what is it, The 13 Hours of Benghazi. I can't remember the whole title of it. That was just out, you know, what is it, Secret Soldiers? And is that pretty much true, the way things went down, or was that just a fictionalized story?
Well, it's like any good Hollywood movie. It's a combination of truth and fiction. Mm-hmm. I'm not somebody who can judge that, but I looked at what some of the military experts said about that movie, and they were not very kind.
They didn't like. They also did not like Zero Dark Thirty.
They didn't. They did not like Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah.
No. So. But they weren't very kind in terms of the historical accuracy. So what I would characterize it as is a fictionalized account of real world activities.
Mm-hmm.
Look, all of these things are designed to influence opinion. Zero Dark Thirty was less so, but 13 Hours, that movie was precisely designed to influence opinion about those events. Benghazi has been the horse that the GOP has been riding now for since the attacks occurred. They viewed this as their opportunity to destroy Hillary Clinton's political career, reputation. And there were an awful lot of Republicans who today are trying to figure out how to take the headlines that said no smoking guns, no new revelations about what she said or about her actions, and spin that into some disaster. And they just haven't been able to. And this is the ninth investigation. The ninth investigation of this, including several that were presided over by Republicans and Republicans who hate Hillary Clinton. And they just can't find anything other than this was a disaster. It was a horrible thing. It was a horrible thing for our country. It was a horrible thing for the families of the people who were killed. But not every disaster implies human culpability in some grand conspiracy.
I'm getting some real-time texts talking about a former defense secretary, Gates, said there could have been anti-aircraft weapons in the area and called estimates of effective military action cartoonish. So that I'm just using some information I'm getting from.
Can I ask sort of a big picture question today? We hear constantly about how Donald Trump has these terrible approval ratings and, but Hillary Clinton's are historically bad too, right? And I'm just wondering, why do you think people hate Hillary? Like, where does the vituperation stem from in your eyes?
You know, it's funny because I actually have thought a lot about this. And I will say, Patty, as we were talking about during the break, I've never been a huge Hillary fan. Mm-hmm. I've always been kind of a lukewarm Hillary fan. My admiration for her has actually grown a great deal in the last year. But I think it all stems from, if folks remember when Bill Clinton got into trouble for the Jennifer Flowers thing, mm-hmm. and he went on 60 Minutes, and Hillary Clinton gave the answer that she said, well, I could have been home baking cookies and having teas, but instead I chose to pursue my career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not here standing by my man like some Tammy Wynette.
Right.
I am convinced that that moment in time set opinions hard against her.
Mm-hmm.
Men were intimidated by her, and women were uncomfortable with her. And I know, obviously, that's a gross generalization.
It's a challenge to both. It's a challenge to what women feel strongly about. I think we've come to the point now, I'm hoping, we're moving in the direction of women going, I can be who I am, whether that means that I'm strong or, you know, if I put out, sometimes we have to sort of shield it or soften our strength because we know that it doesn't work in every situation. So we kind of cloak it. And I think that that's something that Hillary refused to ever do. And that's her choice as well. And I hope we're moving toward being able to accept that.
Right. Well, and remember, she was the wife of a governor of a very conservative southern state. And when she his first term, remember, he was a one-termer and then he lost and then he won the governorship back. But in his first term, she insisted on going by Hillary Rodham. And that did not go over well with the good folks down in Arkansas. So, I mean, look, there have been a lot of things. Hillary has done some things or said some things she shouldn't have done. She had, you know, said today in Chicago or yesterday in Chicago, you know, yeah, she certainly made her fair share of mistakes. There obviously were questions about some things she said where she tried to gild the lily a bit. You know, show me a politician who doesn't do that. The difference, though, between Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Donald Trump is that Hillary and Bill have historically gilded the lily a fair bit, but they usually don't just flat out lie.
Right. Let me take a break here. Can you stay after midnight?
Yeah, sure.
Are we keeping up late? John, you decide during the break. I know it's getting late, but I know we've got some texters, and I know people are calling to join the conversation. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications. And we've been talking about the reports that came out today, the Republican reports. Yesterday were the Democrat reports in regards to the...
Yes, yesterday was the Democratic pre-buttal.
Pre-buttal.
Yes.
Do they know how a rebuttal goes?
They do, but they actually, I thought it was really smart. And it worked because when the Republicans had their press conference today... There was a lot of hostile questioning.
Okay.
There were a lot of reporters are going like, come on, everybody knows this is politics. Kevin McCarthy, the would-be Speaker of the House, former Majority Leader, inadvertently, as he was trying to brag to Sean Hannity last year, went ahead and said, yeah, look what we accomplished. We organized the select committee and we lowered Hillary Clinton's poll ratings. Like, yeah,
That's not supposed to be the goal of an investigation.
You know, that's really not it. And frankly, there were so many areas that they could have investigated that actually would have, A, been more politically effective, and B, been more relevant. Like, for example, Libya policy. Mm. Libya has not worked out so well.
Right.
Why did that happen? How did it happen? What were the mistakes that were made? How can we learn from that in order to do a better job in the future? But the GOP, you know, the Obama derangement syndrome, which was preceded by and will be followed by Clinton derangement syndrome, is so intense that they can't see the forest for the trees, and they're not focusing on what are the really legitimate questions that could have and should have been asked. But weren't, because they all were trying to figure out, we got to get a smoking gun and get Hillary.
Right.
And the email thing, I got to tell you, the email thing, you know, aside from the fact that Colin Powell and everybody use their own private email addresses,
That's not taken as a response.
They didn't have their own server. Hillary had her own server. I get that. But let's say, okay, your accomplishment of this committee is you reveal this server. Congratulations. Now, how does that relate to Libya again?
Right. Right.
It doesn't.
Well, and even was it the day that President Obama threw his support behind Hillary Clinton, the FBI announced that it was a criminal investigation? Was that the news
that
day?
Well, by its nature, FBI investigations are criminal investigations.
Right. They're not checking out your taxes.
No, they're not. But, you know, there's a lot of speculation going on right now. What does this all mean? I've read so many reports on this until my eyes are bleary. But in what generally is the consensus is that what Hillary Clinton did and what she is accused of doing is very minor compared to past people who've been actually charged. Usually you have to have, while the criminal statute does not require intent, historically, prosecutors want intent to show there's a bad actor here.
Right.
There's somebody that should be prosecuted.
That she had malicious motives.
Exactly. Okay. And by the way, malicious intent is not defined as wanting to preserve your privacy or even wanting to avoid FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act. It may not be okay, but that's a political question. It's not a legal question. So legally, the expectation is she will not be indicted. And I would be astonished if she were at this point.
And it's amazing to me how you talk to people if they're in the newspaper industry, if they're journalists of all different. Every once in a while you come across somebody who says, no, I've talked to somebody way up in the chain. And they said, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad for her. And that stuff never happened. I remember when President Obama was about to become president and people were like, oh, no, there's going to be all this. You wait until you hear the story that comes down.
Right.
And nothing happened.
That happens all the time. I mean, literally, you can't work in a campaign and not hear, oh, well, this big thing's going to happen either against you or for you.
Right.
Nine times out of ten, it's an echo chamber. It's what we call a feedback loop.
Right.
You know, I'll tell somebody, they'll tell somebody, they'll tell somebody, they'll tell somebody. And then suddenly I'll hear a rumor, and it's the rumor I started. Now, I'm not starting rumors, but it's, you know, that's how that kind of thing works.
What are your thoughts on this campaign season now that we have our presumed candidates? And there's a lot of talk today about how many people Hillary Clinton has on the ground, basically working the campaign, right, and outnumbering Donald Trump. How is that even? Does he not have a strategy? Is that, if he's got all this money, he keeps talking about how he doesn't have to take any contributions and all these things, what's he doing?
Donald Trump is really, really impressed with Donald Trump.
Okay.
And he believes, and I think he genuinely believes this, that his personal magnetism, the fact that he was able to get
hundreds of millions of dollars
in free media coverage
during the
primary, and that he was able to beat 16, well-funded or, many well-funded, Jeb Bush had $100 million and Ted Cruz had, $80 million or whatever. He was able to beat them all, defying all conventional wisdom.
And logic.
But that was true. He did. But what he has failed to understand is that the primary electorate is tiny compared to the general electorate. So, for example, he got 13 million votes. Congratulations, Donald. It's a great achievement. You got more votes than any other Republican. By the way, you got more votes than Ronald Reagan because there are about 100 million more Americans now than there were when Ronald Reagan was president. But anyway.
So this is what happens when you teach abstinence only in certain educational systems.
There you go. So yeah, that's a lead in to what's coming next. But so Donald Trump forgets that, okay, you got 13 million votes, but in the general election, there are going to be at least 140 million voters.
Right.
And there are, I may be just a ridiculous political junkie and a political geek, and I may be fixated on this kind of stuff, and I may be following every tiny little nuance, and oh, by the way, I am.
You are. Mm-hmm.
But most people don't care. They're not focused. Even now, I promise you, if you walked out there and you asked the average person about Donald Trump and any of the scandals that he was involved in, other than maybe the Muslim ban, which people probably heard of, or the wall.
Oh, but today he said it's going to only be some types.
Yes, because, Mr. Consistency has decided that, now's the time to be inconsistent. But anyway, but most people don't actually know about this stuff. And that's what a campaign is all about. And you're talking about a different electorate. You're talking about trying to make an impression with a lot of new people. And so Donald Trump assumed that the rules that applied in the primary will apply in the general election. And it's just never the case.
Do you see Illinois as being sort of a smaller version of what's going on nationally when people say, well, something different has to work? I'm tired of lifelong politicians. And this is how we have Governor Rauner in office in Springfield.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I always want to tell my friends outside of Illinois that my Republican friends who say, well, we just need to put a businessman in charge.
I'm sorry.
Come to Illinois just read the Crane's editorial from Monday.
Yeah. I'm done with people saying that the state needs to be run like a business because
it's not a business.
Government is not supposed to run at a profit. It can't. Right. The role of the government is to provide, to spend money on the services and the things that keep us all going.
Right.
And hopefully in a way that remains civil in some manner.
Well, remember that during the general election campaign, Bruce Rauner was asked the question, Governor, unlike Scott Walker and Snyder and these other governors in Midwestern states, all of whom have Republican legislatures, you're going to be faced with supermajority Democrats in both chambers. How are you going to get your agenda passed?
Right.
And he said, I've been successful in everything I've ever done, so I promise you it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Sound familiar?
Yes.
I mean, the parallels between the way Donald Trump speaks and the way Bruce Rauner speaks, and frankly, I give Bruce Rauner way more credit than I give Donald Trump, but it just doesn't work that way. And that's in Springfield. When you go to Washington, I mean, it's a totally different animal.
Well, why do business people, if they have that ability, why not build up? I mean, with Sarah Palin, at least she started on the local school council, became the mayor of Wasilla, and then became the governor of Alaska. There's sort of a path to that of learning how to work with other people, building whatever you think of Sarah Palin. There's something to figuring out how this all works, how to negotiate.
Well, and as we all know, being a mayor is like being a community organizer, but with responsibilities. sorry, that was a throwback to the convention. But anyway, No, you're right. And look, I have friends who are in business and they're very interested in politics. But most of them recognize that the skills can translate, but not unless you're self-aware enough to understand what your limitations are,
right,
and how you have to change in order to handle your new responsibilities. And if there's anybody in America more arrogant and self-assured than Donald Trump, I don't know who that is. It would be a disaster of monumental proportions.
I agree.
Think Brexit times 100.
Well, people don't seem to be seeing that. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, I support that. Yeah, that's exactly what we should be doing. I don't even know where to begin with that.
Well, I mean, I think you begin with, and this is why I made a prediction 3 months ago. I said that Hillary Clinton was going to win by about 12 points, maybe more, but probably about 12 points, with between 370 and 403 electoral votes. Again, super geek here. But I said that, and as the polls closed, I'm like, no, it's just trust me that this is the direction that this election is going. Again, back to the point, most people aren't really focused on this stuff. And so and they're still in the flirting stage.
Right.
You know, they're like, wow, that is one darn fine looking, not literally, but figuratively, that's one darn fine looking candidate. And, you know, I'd like to tell the establishment to go jump in a lake. And so I'm going to vote for that guy because I want to tell him to go jump in a lake. But when you get to October, and you start picturing this person not as what am I going to flirt with and tell pollsters, but who do I want to actually be in charge of the world's most powerful military?
Mm-hmm.
A seriousness kicks in. And when that seriousness kicks in, people tend to like.
Oh, but Dave, I'll surround myself with real, very, very smart people. Very smart.
Very smart. And let's remember, let's see, who did Donald Trump say his number one advisor is? It's himself.
Yes.
He said that because he's got a really good brain.
Mm.
I mean, I still go back to the start of the campaign season when Chuck Todd on Meet the Press asked him who his top advisors were on foreign policy. And he said, well, I watch all the shows. I watch all the Sunday shows.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I do too, but that doesn't make me qualified to be president.
And he didn't, and could he name any of the shows? Poor Sarah Palin when they asked her what she read.
Yeah,
all the papers.
It was the same thing. Mm-hmm. It was exactly the same thing. It was like, finally he came up with Jack Jacobs. Well, Jesus, Jack Jacobs is on every show, so of course you better be able to come up with at least that guy.
A couple quick texts from the 630. Trump and Clinton are both very unlikable. A good reason to vote for Gary Johnson. Personal freedom, less military action, and legal weed. Win, win, win.
For Gary Johnson?
Yeah, apparently.
Is someone they want to vote for? Okay. Is that also someone wanted to know how much were they asking how much money Hillary Clinton has given the station for this?
There was someone that accused the station of accepting money from Hillary Clinton. Yeah.
Or perhaps the accusation should be that the hosts are not inclined to.
Yeah. From the 773. How much did crooked Hillary Clinton donate to WGN for this?
For what? Just for the conversation?
Just coverage, I guess. Yeah.
The opinion. I mean,
apparently.
Like, my opinion.
Because,
I
Patty, you'd never have Republicans on your show.
I do have Republicans every Friday night.
Yeah, I know.
It was so much fun. I, by the way, Mary, in Mary Ann in Wisconsin, I hope that you are listening. It'll be worth your time to continue to tune in. I know. By the way, she did not give a return address when she sent us this lovely letter, and I want to thank her for writing my name. She actually changed the way she wrote my name twice. I think I'm going to read a little bit of it now. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to air a little bit of what she's responding to, even though I believe she didn't actually hear that segment of my setting a very special record. But anyway, we're going to listen to a little bit of that and read a letter that Marianne has sent us. We are so glad, Marianne, you have encouraged us to follow my dreams and say vagina a whole bunch of times. I wonder how close Marianne lives to Nublaris. Again, Marianne, it would be worth your while to hang in there because I think they were going to do something that would, you know, really will make you proud of the fact that you wrote a letter to the station. Craig, well, how long ago was that? That was 2 years ago now?
We actually apparently did it twice, according to my searches. We did it once on our overnight show and then once when you filled in on the afternoon drive.
For Gary Meyer.
Yeah, correct.
So we wanted to set the record for the most times the word penis was said during a half hour. My portion of a
correct
radio show.
It's surreal to find out that we actually did this twice, by the way. We didn't do this segment once.
I think because
we
didn't use the bell the first time. That
we
makes
did not.
It,
and that's the only one that's still available, actually, is the original one we had done.
Oh, the original?
The one
not
from
the
overnight.
Not from Gary Meyer's show?
Yeah, no, that one doesn't exist.
What do you mean it doesn't exist? How is that possible?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not. The audio isn't available anymore.
That is really wrong.
Yeah. But we do have you saying the word penis during our initial segment.
Okay.
I went and checked the sump pump.
They went and checked all their packed Christmas ornaments. She checked the oven and could not, was having a tough time finding the source of the dinging.
That's hysterical.
So, but so we did not really dwell on these because I was not trying to be, now that I'm after midnight and this is my segment, these are the waters in which I tread. I wanted to discuss this with you, with you guys. I don't know if Ted is, if you're up for discussing it, please join us at any point. But I don't understand some of these injuries, Nate. Some of them, one of them was sewing pants and got needles stuck in his penis. So apparently he was trying to make a repair to his garment while still wearing it, I guess. Or maybe he had it on his lap. I'm not really sure.
Patty, I need to stop you here. A week ago, you're like, I have this really, really great 19 segment that I want you in to talk about. The fact that it was penis injury, and you're like, we got to get weather up. I want to know what happened in our past.
Right.
Then you're like, he's the guy.
Well, because it can't be Palisak, right? It can't be Palisak because, like, he was embarrassed. You saw his midnight tease.
Adorable.
He came and did one like about how he accidentally teasing somebody, and it wasn't even that big of a like. His brother had fallen into the miniature golf pond, and he
felt bad for laughing at him.
He felt bad for laughing at his brother.
So it wasn't even the teasing. Sweetest it was the fact guy that he ever. Felt bad about teasing.
He makes Mitt Romney look like a jerk. You know what I mean? Like Mitt Romney tries to be all like, no, but I mean like in that sort of I just want to help people. And I don't understand. You know what I mean?
I'm very pure.
We have a Mitt Romney topic coming up later. That's why lumped. I don't mean to lump
his grandson, right?
Michael Palisak and Romney into the same thought. You're confused by it. I can see it. Anyway, it can't be Palisak. Pat McGann, maybe. But you have that sort of like glee
penis
that I have.
Energy.
No. You have a certain. I think there's a certain mirth that you would bring.
I'm a little sad because I don't. I can't believe we don't have the original because it was pretty. You know what we'll have to do now is we'll have to get those emergency room records back up. And
the original must have been sent in 2013.
Is that how long ago it was?
Yeah, because this was 24. This was just after New Year's Day.
Yes, because
2014.
We did it during the Christmas break.
Correct.
And we said penis a whole bunch of times.
We did a lot of times.
And apparently, we must have referred to our achievement on the show last week because Marianne just grabbed a pen. And what I love about Marianne's letter is that she started to write two, and then she realized she was going to need more room, so she scratched it out and started the letter a little bit higher on the page. And she also used a yellow highlighter for the date. I'm not sure why, but here's the letter we received. To the foul mouth Patty V, how proud you should be. Being known for saying penis more than anyone else on the radio, a real tribute to you. Be sure your sons know this to brag to their friends and teachers about the fine accomplishment their mom has done on the radio. If I were your mother, I would have washed out your mouth with soap long ago. You are trailer trash, actually worse, from Marianne from Wisconsin.
But she misspelled trailer.
She also your is apostrophe R but no E for sons. You're like the possessive your, not with the verb. There's a lot of there. Well, Amy Guth says she would like to copy edit this and send it back to Marianne. Marianne did not send a return address. Marianne, you're more than welcome to let us know. I do have your post office on this. It's from Milwaukee and the zip code from which that came as well. So there are ways. I have your last name, which I have not shared. I've not put that on Facebook. I very conveniently covered her name with a pen so that you couldn't get her name on there. But it's certainly worth your while to hang on there, Mary, if you are going to listen to, and if there's anyone who has a problem with the word vagina, I encourage you to find Marianne. And
wait, does that count? Okay.
No, because we're doing it after 11:30.
Got it. Okay, cool. Okay, good.
After 12:30. But find Marianne and tell her, hey, you took up my entire half hour of radio with Patty saying the word vagina. And I really resent. I'm practicing.
No, good. I
you
like
did a
that.
Good job.
Thank you very much.
If we actually end at like 58, those count.
Those count?
Yeah. Because a 30-minute segment.
I didn't say it yet. Sorry. Vagina.
As many times as you say vagina, they would all count right now.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
How many times should I say vagina?
As many times as you want to say vagina.
All right, I'm going to say vagina now.
Okay.
Does it count? Is it only if I say vagina?
I don't know. I feel like you should just count your own vaginas.
All right, I'll count my own vaginas.
All right.
You know, Patty, I'd say vagina, but I'm afraid of what it might do to my reputation.
Yeah, you really shouldn't say
you
vagina.
Shouldn't say, no, you shouldn't
I will
say
stop saying vagina.
Avoid saying vagina.
Vagina, 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 vagina.
Oh my God, it's just cheating.
Thank God my wife is asleep.
Fine.
We will be reading injuries to vaginas after the.
And actually, those injuries are a little different than the penis records we set because these are more elaborate explanations of said injuries.
I like the fact that one of these says vaginas make bad purses.
Apparently, they do. No, because the penis injuries were so quick. They were such quick hitters, like guy on treadmill injures penis.
Yeah.
That was the
guy
whole story.
Sewing, sews needle.
Sews penis.
Yeah, sews penis.
Apparently, for vagina, we need much more of an explanation.
So many explanations. Yeah. The woman whose vagina literally fell out of her body while she. Wow.
How do you do that?
We're going to find out after the news. Do I have a break before we go to news and embark on this adventure? All right. So 312-981-7200. Actually, don't. I guess there's no reason to call during the segment because I'll just be busy reading some vaginal reports.
Well, unless you, caller, have a vagina story you want to share.
Yes.
Then you could
would
call
that
in
count?
At that.
No, because I... It's, I
we, you
well,
have
if
to
Patty
say
parrots the vagina story by asking maybe vagina questions, then sure, it would count.
Yeah. And I don't understand why people have that big of a problem with the word vagina.
I don't know.
The reason we did the... Oh, so to explain as well, Sunday nights on the original version of my show, we did a segment called The Midnight Tease, and we would talk about anything from, you know, health, sex health. We had a great list of phrases to describe sex from the 1700s. Really lovely and fun and creative. And things like that. You know, we talk a little bit about how porn affects our approach to sex and how it's even like the way we imagine ourselves if we don't like stand up to the images we see. What was that Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie? That was a real, we had a long conversation about
the one where he's
porn
like
addiction.
Don Juan?
Yeah, well, he's addicted to porn.
Yeah.
And
I
so,
think it's called Don Juan,
Is it
actually.
Called Don Juan?
Yeah.
That was good.
They made
or Don John.
Don John. What was
it's
that?
Called Don John. He made good. A movie about that, yes, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was addicted to porn.
Because so I'm like, so, I'm sorry, is that news?
So much so that Scarlett Johansson breaks up with him.
Yes. Ooh,
he has to stick to porn instead of her.
Yes. Priorities.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and let's go to the news. Coming up, we want to, again, thank Marianne for, we're going to dedicate this segment to Marianne of Wisconsin for encouraging us, for reminding us that we have not had sexual equality on this show. We have set the record for the number of times we have said penis in a half-hour segment. We will now try to set the record. It is our goal to say vagina more times than any other broadcaster.
I have confidence in you.
I don't know. These are dense. These descriptions of
oh
injuries.
My God.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen, and maybe we'll pull up some more. For making I love hearing that song. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And one of the things I really set out to do, one of the inspirations I had in general as a host at WGN Radio was Kathy and Judy. I loved their Sex Thursdays. I loved how honest they were. I loved listeners who called in and shared stories, anything from, you know, sex after a certain age or using adult toys. And every Thursday, they would warn you. They would say, if you can't handle this conversation or if the kids are around, just so you know, this is what we do on Thursdays. So I had a segment called The Midnight Tease, and we would play it. So you know, time for making whoopee. And also, we even had a warning, adult warning, that we've used in various times. And we were surprised at how angry people would get when I would say the word vagina. And they would, thank you, they would say that I was obsessed, and they would complain to the station. And there was never a complaint about using the word penis.
No.
And we wanted to see how many times I could say it. And nobody complained.
Right.
Until, well, and now... we got a complaint, not a complaint, but a letter pondering whether or not I'm proud of having set the record for saying
you
penis.
Are, though, right?
I'm so super proud.
Okay, good.
And Craig, you got me there.
I did.
You did. You made all of that happen.
Well,
so,
thank you.
So for in the spirit of sexual equality,
right?
I feel that we should also say do the same for vagina. Let me also say this: I have taught my sons to use the appropriate words. And I have always wanted them to use the appropriate words. After 1 a.m., I'll explain the rest of that and why I think it's important to use the words vagina and penis when we talk about our anatomy and be comfortable with our own bodies. So here we go. We have the actress who made vagina steaming fashionable. These are headlines first.
That's Gwyneth Paltrow?
It is Gwyneth Paltrow. Okay. What is vagina steaming, you ask? According to Gwyneth Paltrow, you sit on what's essentially a mini throne.
Sorry, I got a little late there.
They have that at the Korean spa.
They do have that.
Oh, my God.
The performance artist who knits from her vagina.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she does that. We have the woman who had a sex toy stuck in her vagina for 10 years. The woman who recreated a famous nude painting by exposing her vagina to patrons at a museum. Okay. The villagers who thought a woman's vagina was cursed by a witch doctor.
That doesn't sound good.
No. The vibrator and camera that lets you take vagina selfies. The woman who smuggled a gun into jail via her vagina. The man who was arrested for exercising a woman's haunted vagina with his penis. That's not a twofer. You only get the one.
He exercised what now?
He exercised a woman's haunted vagina with his penis.
I think that's just called having sex. I don't think that's exercise.
The pop star who charged his phone in a woman's vagina.
Oh.
The woman who travels the world and lifts things with her vagina. Now, we have 15 vagina horror stories guaranteed to make you cringe.
Yep.
This woman once used Nair on her bikini zone, and she applied Nair to her vagina.
Oh.
And after a few moments, realized she was burning the labia off. That doesn't count as another one, sorry.
No, labia is not the same.
Which made it burn even worse because she tried using aloe vera, and apparently that's not made for vaginas either. The next day, my vagina was swollen shut. The thorny bush is the name of the next. I was riding my bike, and it randomly hooked onto something. I fell forward, vagina first, into a rose bush. I screamed in pain while my doctor removed 18 thorns from my vagina with tweezers. Needless to say, my vagina has never been the same. The slipped shaver. I sneezed while shaving my vagina, and the razor slipped. I had the worst rash ever. I had to go to the ER, and they had to rip out the skin attached. Now I'm careful when I'm shaving my vagina. I have to make sure that these, here we go. The lingering condom. I realized I went out with some girlfriends and ended up going home with someone. 3 days later, I felt something weird when I went to the bathroom and I pulled out a condom. I had gone 3 days not noticing there was one in my vagina. The burning lady bits. I got out of the bathtub and sat on the lid of a toilet to remove my nail polish, and the bottle in my lap spilled acetone all over my vagina. Oh, I can't read that one.
Which one was that one? That's not the super glue one, right?
For those of you listening, if you have any concerns about the content, please thank Marianne of Wisconsin for encouraging us to pursue sexual equality on the show. The buzzing toothbrush. In my teen years, I used an electric toothbrush as a vibrator. After a few minutes, it started to burn because it still had toothpaste on it. I tried to take the toothbrush out, but it got caught on the inside of my vagina. I never did that again. Can't read that one. One night, a spider crawled up my shorts while I was sleeping and took a bite on my vagina. I ended up with a severe staph infection. That's important to know when you should really get that checked out.
Yeah, really.
Nope, can't read that one.
What's that one? What's happening with those ones?
Let's see. The Cayenne tampon. I used to work at a bulk food store. One day I went to the bathroom to change. I did my thing, and a few seconds later, it felt like my vagina was on fire. That's when I remember I just finished topping up the bin of cayenne pepper, and I hadn't washed my hands before inserting my tampon.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And where do you insert the tampon?
In your vagina.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it would be weird if you did it anyway.
Yeah, weird. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Do we have a tally? Do we know?
I'm just putting a bunch of ones up here.
I should have asked Esmeralda to see.
No, I got a bunch.
A lot.
Yeah, you said it a lot of times.
I'm in Canada. A lot.
a lot. Let's see. Men's first time stories. We have other things. Here we go. Next time you're chopping jalapenos and stop to break to change. Oh, this is the same as the last one. Apparently jalapenos will also make your vagina burn.
You've said it 31 times.
Idea. 31 times. Wow, we are going to so break the record here.
Yeah,
well, we don't know how 31. Many times somebody else has said it.
Right.
A Florida woman caused a serious car crash when she decided to shave her vagina while driving.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of things that are inappropriate to store in your vagina. Some of them include heroin, prescription pills, and loose bills and change.
That said appropriate?
Inappropriate.
Okay, got it.
Inappropriate. Pennsylvania woman Karen M. didn't get the memo about not using your vagina as a purse. Let's see. We do have to thank nurses, by the way.
By the way, we have a quick text from the 773. Is it a vagina monologue to keep saying vagina?
I don't know if it's a monologue because there's a lot of different stories. I don't know. I would think of a vagina monologue. By the way, I've just said it twice there.
I missed one.
Yes. I don't know if it's a vagina monologue. There you go.
It's like a medley.
It is more of a medley.
It's a vagina medley?
It's the greatest hits, which would also hurt your vagina. A woman made her OB sweat when an x-ray revealed her vagina was locked and loaded. The doctor performed emergency surgery so the wouldn't shoot her uterus.
Oh, no.
Only to discover it was not really a gun. It was a cigarette lighter shaped like a gun.
Where was it stored?
A companion to the crack pipe, which was also in her vagina.
I got it. That's Patty, you are my favorite person with a vagina. That's from the 773.
Thank you. I enjoy having my vagina as well. There you go. I've lost my hearing.
That went out completely.
Did the station,
the station
blew up. After a brutal Brazilian wax, I went home with a guy. And although he was a pretty good kisser, he bit me down there. The first time I was thinking, ow, but he kept going and did it again and then saw that I was bleeding. When we went to the bathroom, I had actual teeth marks. I made him leave and went to the hospital the next day. There is no other way to explain teeth marks on your vagina that is not mortifying.
No,
that's mortifying.
Sounds terrible.
Mm-hmm. There's a hysterical woman came into the ER. She just had a fight with her boyfriend while sitting in his parked car. Mm-hmm. She said she'd gotten so mad at him that she pulled the key out of the ignition and put it in her vagina so he couldn't drive home. Now she could not locate the key to get it out, and the doctor could not either, so we concluded it must have fallen out somewhere near the boyfriend's car. Do you know what happens when a water skier falls backward into the water with such great speed and force that it causes a flood of water to rush into the vagina and cause lacerations?
No.
These are stories that people have.
Yeah, these are quotes from people telling stories about injuring their vaginas.
Mm-hmm. No, I'll read that one.
You skipped a bunch.
I know I have. I think I doubled up on the sheets of paper
okay.
here.
All right.
Uh-huh. Should we take it? How many are you up to? About 40? We only have
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 44. You've said it 44 times.
Really? We're off to a very good start as well. Then. I feel really good because at this pace, we could do 88. More after this on 720 WGN. It's a vagina stories. Oh. Is it the vagina story? It's not the vagina monologue. Thank you. Is it... It is more of a medley. I like it. It's the vagina medley.
Vagina. 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 They call that thing vagina.
Craig's like pointing at me like, please, I think we have to edit here.
Yeah, can we please?
I didn't know there was a ballad of vagina
there is,
ballad.
Yeah. An old country ballad.
That thing, though? He called it that
thing.
Well, he's a guy. Thing. The guy mm-hmm. singing doesn't completely understand.
Mm-hmm.
So, that
as
thing.
Per usual.
Mm-hmm. That sounds familiar.
Did you say it, Patty?
Have I said vagina yet? We want to thank listener Marianne from Wisconsin mm-hmm. for pointing out that I should be proud. I don't know if she's pointing it out, but she wants to know whether or not I'm proud of saying penis more time than any other broadcaster in a half-hour segment. And I realized it dawned on me, we never struck a balance and said vagina and didn't set the record for vagina. And so we are striving to set the record for saying vagina more times than any other broadcaster. So vagina, vagina, vagina. Do we have any texters that want to join the story?
We do. Mm-hmm. From the 815, I love you, Patty. This is a free country. Why wouldn't that other person turn off the radio?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And those of you who are like, how many times? Now there are people listening. They just want to know how many times to complain about it.
Right.
But it's a body part. And we'll after the break, after the news at 1 a.m., we'll talk a little bit more about the body part. Craig is like, see, just say vagina again. Because I'm hovering.
I need
over.
More.
Please.
You know, from the 630, can you please say I texted the word vagina? That's from Sean.
Oh, you texted the word vagina. We thank you for texting the word vagina. We encourage you to text vagina, to call vagina, talk to the vagina. Oh, there's some pictures on Wikipedia about the vagina.
Talk to the vagina?
Talk to the vagina.
And call it?
I don't know how you do any of that
Maybe
stuff.
Text. People don't really call
The vagina is a muscular and tubular part of the female genital tract. Just so you know. Just so we're...
From Marty, Patty, you are my favorite person with a vagina, as I said before, besides myself, because I do love my own vagina.
Oh, there you go.
That part.
By the way, did you know that the Latinate plural of vagina is vaginae?
Wait a minute. Does that one count?
I think vaginae counts for vagina. The vagina may also be referred to as the birth canal.
Okay.
All right. This is a medical term. I'm just saying a medical term over and over and over
From
again.
The 847, maybe bring this segment back toward the end of the week when it can align with what's in the box.
I do like to line it up with what's in the box.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is debate to whether or not the portion of the vagina formed the, I can't say these words, malarian ducts, and from which, those aren't fun words. Let's go back to some headlines.
From the 219, and the lesson for Marianne would be that she should never pen a letter where she talks about the vagina because the pen is not as mighty as the sword.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she didn't. She actually penned it about the penis.
Yeah, it was penned. Oh, that was wrong.
Vagina.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you
you're welcome.
It.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, there you go.
I got, yeah.
18 things you should never put in your vagina.
Oh.
There's only 18.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot more.
I would feel like there's pretty much everything.
Most things.
Yeah, like almost everything except for the.
Right. It would be much easier to form a list of things that you should put.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that one weird. I made that weird.
I would not recommend putting whipped cream inside the vagina.
Oh.
It's really tough to get this stuff out. You should not. Occasionally thought of as a lubricant, Vaseline is not good for the vagina.
Okay.
Fruits and vegetables. The old wives' tale, vegetables cannot take root inside your vagina and grow. However, whoever thought they could take root, Esmeralda?
Yeah, you can't plant stuff.
How long do you keep them in there for that to happen?
For a long time.
You got to forget, like, for I would
a whole season.
It gets stuck in there?
I guess so. Douches. Some women like to use these to clean the vagina, but it's actually totally unnecessary. It can also be dangerous.
Apparently, there's a Nirvana song called Moist Vagina.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I guess we have to find that one.
Okay.
All right.
I hate that word.
Oh, how about this? 10 wonderful things.
You hate the word moist, right?
Moist.
Okay. Yeah, she hates that word.
All right, then. Not the other one.
No, totally fine with vagina.
Here we go. How about, what is this? 10 wonderful things you should know about your vagina.
Oh.
Right?
It seems positive.
You should know, you should probably know that your vagina is seriously impressive.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
They seem impressive.
It can handle a pretty intense workout. The muscular tone of the vagina is so strong. On a related note, Kegels are seriously effective at strengthening the surrounding pelvic floor for more intensive orgasms.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Your diet can affect the way things smell in your vagina.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So you know. There, you have more, the clitoris has more, this is not on the list of things, it's not on the, I don't, that's a tougher one to get the bell for. We're all just scratching your head, like, I didn't know we were going in different directions. You have more nerve endings than anywhere else on the body. So that's why that controls your orgasms. Your vagina actually expands during sex. So there you go. Seriously, vagina, you never cease to impress us. Not all lady parts are created equally. A new study found that a woman whose clitoris is farther away from the vaginal opening. Does vaginal count? Did we decide on other forms?
I don't know.
Of...
That's interesting because you said it twice there. So
I'm just adding an L.
L. Right. I know. But would it have
By the way, you have said vagina 80 times. And with the vaginal, it would be 82.
Mm-hmm. You're just scratching your head because it's an unbelievable fact that vagina can allow a 10-plus pound baby to come through it and still come back to normal size. Mm-hmm.
81 times.
81 times. There's
That's a
no
lot
such
of time.
Hey, there's no such thing as a normal vagina.
No.
From the vulva to the labia, they come on all shapes and sizes. So mm-hmm. don't fret about being perfect below sure. the belt. Let's see. Your vagina is so self-sufficient, it even cleans itself. In fact, many intravaginal products and washes can increase your risk of bacterial and yeast infections. This is also kind of a health report.
Yeah, really, this is just educational now.
See next.
See next? Okay.
Yeah, see next. I'll see what's coming up on the next page.
All right.
Oh, here's. Oh, these are about breasts. That'll be for a different show.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. What are we at? 84?
We're at 83.
83. And we only said penis like 68 times.
I really don't think we said it. Yeah, I think vagina.
Well, now we have to top
and by
our.
By the way, when we said penis, we counted everyone, not just you.
Oh, really?
Yes. So this is just you. You've said vagina 83 times.
See, here's the thing. Marianne threw down the gauntlet.
Yep.
And I decided to step up to the challenge. Are you proud of yourself? This is actually more proud of the day that I said penis for
I
record.
Can tell you have no break till the news, by the way.
You can tell me that?
I can tell you.
Are you in pain over this word, vagina?
No, I'm not. No, wait. I'm not in pain over the word at all.
Okay. Because I kind of moved away from a lot of the injuries.
Yeah.
Because the difference with the penis injuries was that they would get caught. In things.
Right.
Like needles would get so.
It's
like,
easier to catch your penis and stuff.
Yes. We haven't gotten any of the. But for women, it's kind of like a lot of things get stuck. So I thought we'd go in a different direction when it came
to. Well, it seems like for women to cause injury to the vagina, they have to do it somewhat willingly, where mm-hmm. the men accidentally injured their penises.
Right.
Yeah.
Just throwing that thing around willy nilly.
Which is something we're going to talk about after the news, or the different names. 312-981-7200 after 1 o'clock. We should talk about the different nicknames that we use for the parts. I mean, what would you rather I said instead of vagina almost 90 times?
85. Mm-hmm. You need 5 more.
I need 5 more?
Yeah.
Vagina kung fu. What is this?
That sounds intense.
Most women have under-functioning vaginas.
Can you shoot a ping pong with your vagina? No, I cannot. That's impressive.
Yeah.
How your vagina changes in your 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. Oh, let me check out this article.
Okay.
Because I'm just curious. are we still doing the thing with the stuff? If you're not the kind of woman who regularly examines herself, you might not realize, like the rest of your body, your vagina is getting older.
That was 90. Mm-hmm. That's 90.
It's not that your vagina is celebrating your exact birthday. After all, your body doesn't know that the calendar is changing. So that's probably true. Of course, every woman and every vagina is different. That makes sense.
Oh, 92.
Now we just got to go for the even.
You have to hit 100.
Yeah, I don't even think. Yeah.
Right.
I'm not liking this story.
You have 2.5 minutes
to
say it 8 more times.
Yeah, so we're in good shape, I think.
I think you're fine.
Yeah, I could just say vagina and it counts.
It does indeed.
I was just trying to make it, try to find some interesting information because it's also, I think, educational at this point.
It's nice.
Oh, here we go. Your vulva, vagina, and breasts. The female anatomy basics.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? This is the Planned Parenthood website. Let's go to that one.
Oh, nice.
Breasts and vulvas come in many different shapes and sizes.
Sure.
If you have any concerns about your vulva, vagina, or breasts, talk with an adult you trust. Oh, this is for girls. Female, this is an educational page.
Nice.
I feel like, is my vagina normal? It's a stretchable passage that connects the outer sex organs. Let's see. It's normal for the vagina to produce different types of discharge.
Three left.
At birth, girls have some skin tissue called the hymen that stretches over part or all of the vaginal opening. Did we decide that counts?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we did.
Mm-hmm. The hymen can stretch open the first time something enters your vagina, or and even during sports or other physical activities. What are we at?
98.
Oh, look at that. I feel like now it's like anticipation.
Right. Mm. We head from the 630, vagina, 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 vagina.
Oh, I can do that. Vagina, 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 vagina. That way the listeners are
we
also.
Just went over.
We just went over.
Went two over.
Well, I can't take it back now. No, well, you can eliminate any time I said vaginal if you want.
No, it's fine. You said vagina 102 times.
In sizing up the alleged boons of vaginal liberation,
right.
Wolf refuses to acknowledge the actual levers of oppression that subjugate bona fide vagina owners. Oh, Naomi Wolf, this is a review of her book.
Oh.
I like Naomi Wolf. She follows me on Twitter. We probably should have let her know about this. In the news,
podcast.
Did he think it was okay? London woman makes stranger who punched her in the vagina apologize on video.
Oh, that's not nice.
Here's what happened when this artist asked people to... Oh, no.
Does pain happen the same way? For us guys, when you punch us
there... How can we know
there,
that? How can we ever know that?
Yeah, but when you get us there, like, that's really... It's very painful.
Well, also, there's a bone there.
For you.
There's our pelvic bone.
Yeah, we have
bone.
Pelvic bone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you're just punching bone.
I like that there's news for vagina on Google. Thank you.
Google alert?
So wait, did we come to a consensus on this, though? So it hurts more or less?
I think it hurts less. It's impossible to know how much the difference is in pain.
I think it's harder to get into the fleshy bits with us.
312-981-7200. Is anyone watching the video stream right now? Because what Esmeralda just did.
What did she do?
You got uppercut.
Do you see what she's doing?
Yeah, you have to do an uppercut. Is that that's an uppercut.
I mean, this can, yeah.
Yeah, that's something different.
105.
It's not an uppercut to the vagina.
I mean, yeah, but you know.
If you have a vagina or know someone who does.
Or know someone who does?
Oh, I tried Kegel weightlifting with Etsy eggs and burned my vagina.
Oh, no.
Oh.
108.
Oh, come on, just two more. Why Abby Norman won't stop talking about her vagina?
Yep, that's one.
And let's see. Nope. Just one more. Nope. Mm-mm. Nope, don't like that one. I have to go to the
From the 630, I think this is enough. You're on WGN Radio. Find something else to talk about. Stop talking about...
vaginas! There it is, 110. Why? Why? I actually, believe it or not, that was a mission. That wasn't just talking about something. That was actually a mission with a purpose. And we want to thank Marianne once again for inspiring us to... have equal balance, sexual equality on our show, because we do hold the record for saying penis more times than any other radio broadcaster in a half hour segment. And we have now, hopefully, we don't know for sure that we said it more than anybody. I'm not going to say it again. 100, I like an even 110. You want me to go to 111? That felt so good. I wish I smoked. That'd have been fun. Thank you, Marianne, once again, for inspiring that. And we credit you with that.
and you inspired it. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I wrote a letter to Marianne. Actually, she wrote to me and called me foul-mouthed because I had said the word penis so many times. And by the way, so let me read a little bit of the letter that I wrote to her. To misdirected anger, Marianne from Wisk. I should have written Wisk instead of Wisconsin. She wrote Wisk as her sign-off. Thank you for your recent correspondence regarding my status as holding the record for saying penis more times than any other broadcaster. I am indeed proud of this achievement. I do consider the fact that I will not shy away from using the medical term for male genitalia to be a tribute to my sons. I have never used baby words to describe their penises. I have never used words like wee, pee, peepee, peppy, wee-wee, willy, dingle, dangle, doodle, oodle, noodle, schwanz, Bipsy, Schmanky, Johnson, One-Eyed Trouser Snake, or Tallywhacker, just to name a few. Instead, I have raised them to be proud of their bodies and comfortable with the language used to refer to their anatomy. I'm not sure what their friends or teachers think, nor is it any of their business or my concern what they think of the words I use or the frequency with which I use them. My mom says she was too tired to wash my mouth out, plus she thought I was funny as F. Which is actually what my mom said. Furthermore, she says she's as proud of this accolade as she was of my acceptance to grad school at Northwestern, the University of Chicago, and Princeton. I hope writing to me has accomplished everything you hoped. For my part, you have reminded me that I have not succeeded in snagging the record for saying vagina more than any other broadcaster. As I believe strongly in sexual equality, I plan to correct that oversight tonight and dedicate the accomplishment to you. Congratulations, and thank you for the inspiration, Marianne. Patty Vasquez from Chai.
That was very nice.
Thank you.
And you didn't go anywhere near as far as you could have with other nicknames for the penis.
Oh, no. There's so many more.
There's so many more.
Well, but I mean, like, ones that you might feasibly use toward a child.
Right.
So, on a serious note, one of the reasons for, and everybody raises their children differently, I really believe in being confident with language and with my body. And there are very few tools you can give to a child to, when my sons were maybe 3 or 4 or 5. And I never wanted them to be in a situation where somebody could convince them that it was okay to play with their body parts. So using infantile baby names, in my mind, was not the way to go. That I always wanted them to use the medically correct terms. Unfortunately, we live in a time when people take advantage of children, and I didn't want that to be one more thing that they didn't feel capable of doing. My son Declan doesn't have a language because he has special needs. And, children who are not verbal do actually fall into horrible situations where they are exploited by some of their caregivers. So whether or not he understands the word, I've always been very frank about the language with him as well, because I don't know what the reception is for him. For Griffin, Griffin actually, to your point, Marianne, it's not something he's necessarily proud of. He's certainly not going to go around telling all of us. He might now that he helped me actually write the letter to you, Marianne, and we had this conversation at home, both with him and my mother, because you specifically referred to them. So that's what I spent my evening doing. And watching The Martian, by the way, Esmeralda. Have you seen The Martian? It's a really good movie.
I haven't. How was it?
Oh, I liked it a lot. Very, very good movie.
How much of a comedy was it?
It's very funny. It is. It's pretty funny. There are
so
moments.
It won for best comedy.
Yes. Did it really win for best comedy? Yeah. I can see there were funny moments.
Yeah.
So do you have other, did you say there were other nicknames that you would have used for?
Oh, no. Not that I would have used for children.
For children. No. But I mean, for, what do people say? Because I like for vagina.
The flesh flute.
Oh, the flesh flute. Yeah, I wouldn't have said that to my kids either.
No, I don't think.
Are these coming from our listeners?
No, this is
the list.
This is the list. Yeah.
I remember when
half
George.
Half of these I can't say.
See? We're running into a similar problem.
Little fella.
Oh, little fella. Aww. Never said that either. Little fella's right. Good.
The salami.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Griffin was telling me stories about, because now that we were talking about it, he started doing some research and he was like, Mommy, I don't know how you could have this conversation with people. And he was like, just blow it off. Why are you even spending any time on it? Because like I said, I want to make sure that Marianne feels that her concerns were addressed. Do you feel like we've addressed them to her satisfaction?
I think we did, Esmeralda.
I think it's pretty good coverage.
Yeah, I think we thoroughly addressed
good,
all
good
of her
coverage.
Concerns.
Because maybe that's why she was asking me if I, if I was proud, and maybe she was thinking I hadn't struck a balance on the show. I don't know what she meant.
I don't know.
It's all left to interpretation.
100% all beef thermometer was covered once.
There were things on my page that people like Meat Missile, I think, was one of them.
Oh, Meat Missile. That's a good one. A lot of these are impossible to say.
Yes, a lot of them are impossible.
A giggle stick.
Okay, that's good. Giggles. Yeah. It does make me laugh.
I don't think that's a good reaction, actually.
Mm, all right. That's not necessarily the reaction that you want to have.
But, you know, again, we giggle about it. It is, it's our body parts. It's the same as your elbow, your knee, your nose.
Your
weenus, yeah. Get your weenus on the back of your weenus on the back of your elbow right there. It's that skin that you can tug on your weenus, not on the other part. So I, people are probably spinning around. They're not quite sure what to think right now, Esmeralda. What has happened? First, she's talking about politics, and we're talking about Match Game. And the next thing you know, 110 times, Esmeralda.
We should take a good hard look.
I forgot to take video. We should have gone video live. Craig, we got to do it again. We didn't go video live. I totally forgot. We should go on Facebook live.
No, we should have.
Can we do it again sometime?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to go to 169 next time. I think 169 is appropriate. Hey, Sue, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well.
Thank you,
Penny. Wow, this is really a big honor to talk to you and all of your staff. I've been a long time GN listener. Okay, so I'll get to the point. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that I came into the topic a little bit late, but my father was a little bit older, and he was from the World War II generation, as it were. Both my parents were.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, I just want to say that, you know, whenever sexual issues came up, or if we brought up any type of a topic or something, dinner time, whatever time of the day it was, they're like, oh, our little child brought this up, and we're going to talk about it in a realistic sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Sue, did you mention that your father was also a doctor?
Yes, he was also a doctor.
Yeah, we shouldn't be.
Like I said, I'm sorry. I came into the topic a little bit late, so I didn't hear what you said earlier. Sorry.
Oh, no. Someone complained because we had we have in the past talked about body parts, and I don't shy away from using the actual medical terms, which are penis and vagina, to describe them.
Thank you.
Yes. And so we actually set the record because people complained about my use of the word vagina, and I stipulated that, okay, fine, that offends you. How much does the word penis offend you? And it turned out not nearly as much. People find the word vagina more more apprehensive in hearing it, and they find it disgusting when you say it.
And it should not be. And thank you for bringing up this topic tonight. And like I said, my parents were from the World War II generation, where most of my friends' parents were from the baby boomer generation. And it's just really refreshing to hear this. And why should we not talk about this in realistic terms?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, when people, if it hurts them or pains them or grosses them out, that's something entirely other. Their misconceptions or apprehension about women, you know, that's something to deal with.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sue.
Have a good evening.
That's a great story. You too. Thank you. So did she say lovely? Yeah. There you go. So. And that's who, by the way, somebody said that perhaps the listener that wrote to us, but Marianne, not the listener, Marianne wrote to us. Maybe she was a Wally Phillips fan. My mom was too, but she's also a fan of mine, not just because I'm her daughter.
Right.
Yeah. There were some responses on Facebook page that she just started laughing. I mean, like, she was really laughing hard at the things everybody was saying on Facebook. So thank you so much for joining the conversation there. And we will post this on our Patty V Show page as well. So on Facebook, go to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez is how you can find that page. I thought I already shared it, but I'll make sure it's up there during this break. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And I'm trying to, Craig, I got so distracted with our conversation that I forgot what we were actually going to talk about in this. We spent a little more time than I thought we would. And I want to thank our guests earlier for being accommodating. John Tatey, the editor-in-chief of the AV Club. We kind of brought in Dave Lundy to talk about the Benghazi report. And now I'm trying to find here it is, the rundown. We actually do plan these things ahead of time, Esmeralda. I swear to God we do.
Well, you know, sometimes you just, as you used to say, things you meant to get to.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
What we were going to talk about, IKEA, cell phones, or rich people?
I think rich people first.
Okay.
Yeah. Where rich people learn how to survive the apocalypse. I've wondered about this.
I have too.
Right? Because My former manager and very good friend, Rick Hewitt, who was the owner of Zanies, he passed away several years ago. Did I ever tell you this? He had a bunker like up in Canada. He would go up there. It was also kind of a hunting cabin, but it's where he kept a lot of his weapons and in case something happened. He told me that he would bring my family with. There was enough room for us all to hole up. But I'm like, if the apocalypse comes, how do you get from here to Canada during complete panic? I mean, you got to know because they know it's coming. Do they have an advance warning?
I don't know. They at least have access to maybe really expensive stuff, you know, like helicopters or private jets.
Yeah, but you got to have someone fly that.
Well, they can pay that guy.
Yeah, but he probably took that helicopter already and was like, see you later.
Gotta go. So according to they've reenacted these or pre-acted these things. I can't reenact the apocalypse. That's really something.
That sounds awful.
That sounds like a little time travel thing.
Ever.
What can we do differently next time there's an apocalypse?
We're not doing the Civil War anymore, guys. We're going to do apocalypse this year.
According to this 2015 simulation at Cornell, the safest place to be during the apocalypse is the Northern Rockies. Is that worldwide or just the United States?
That's a substantially good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wait, like up high in the mountains is what they're saying?
Mm-hmm. That's where one finds a 37-acre resort at Paws Up, the nearest metropolis and airport, and the college town of Missoula, population 69,000.
I don't want to be near a college town during the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully it's when they're on vacation.
Right.
Yes, I agree. So, by the way, this is all based on if you're generally well-equipped to deal with a zombie apocalypse.
Right.
So it's not, but, you know, I think a lot of the same things apply to get away from impending doom, whether it's a zombie or chemical. But let's see if it's chemical, if it's airborne.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, I know. It's very bad.
You got to lock yourself in.
Nowhere on here is there any conversation about go bag.
No one mentions a go bag. But they're rich people, remember. They don't have go bags. They don't understand that concept.
They have go homes.
Right. Mm-hmm. They have secondary homes in the mountains.
Right.
Yeah, they have. There are apparently people who are prepping. There are rich people.
And they would have a lot of supplies.
Yes,
right?
they also have target practice.
Okay.
So they do like Hunger Games style against like 3D targets.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So there are plenty of opportunities to practice marksmanship at this Paws Up place in the Northern Rockies. I would think it'd be good. I think that learning how to fish and forage might be a good skill for anybody who's concerned about the apocalypse. That's a good idea. Like, know which leaves and berries are edible, right? Craig, you'd have to be, you know, ready to go in to dig a hole and get rid
of... No, apocalypse, I'm screwed. I just give up. I don't know why you'd want to survive the apocalypse, to be honest.
Now, that's another good point, too.
Like, why would you want to survive that? It's not going to be a fun situation after.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be in a fun time.
But then you can brag to the mutants that are left that you survived.
No one wants to brag to mutants.
No.
You brag to the couple other people with you that are probably sad you survived.
That's a good question. Do you fight impending doom or do you jump into the explosion?
Accept it immediately.
Not just accept, but do you like run toward the doom, like to get it over with?
Hmm.
Like how hard do you fight it off?
I don't know that I could willingly run toward the doom, but I would not run away. I would stay stationary as the doom eclipsed me.
What I'm saying is, are you a cyanide pill guy?
No. I would not cyanide pill.
No.
But I would let the doom overtake me. I would just stand still and see if the doom got to me.
Because you don't want to panic either. Who wants to go down crying?
Right.
Right. Not crying, but like running.
Well, I also
screaming.
Don't want to go down like desperate, like fighting with all the other people. Like, okay, it's time.
I always feel bad for those people, the extras in the big action movies.
Oh, yeah, they're all screwed.
Oh, like buildings and cars falling on them.
Yeah.
You know.
Right, like the first Superman movie?
Or the last Avengers movie.
The last Avengers movie didn't.
No, Kat, which one was the most recent one that I saw where there's all the damage and buildings falling over? Oh, that's Superman versus Batman.
That's not Captain America Civil War.
It's Superman versus Batman.
Right.
Where people were mad about people getting killed.
Yeah, they did a flashback to Superman Returns or whatever.
Right.
It was.
Batman's one of his like a lot of his people died in the
Yeah, and he was upset about that.
Yeah.
But they did that in the Captain America one too.
No, they only
they
killed
had
that,
all those issues.
They only killed that one guy.
No, but they wanted that wasn't that the whole point that they wanted they were like wanted to put sanctions on the Avengers.
Esmeralda, it's a
like,
much better movie.
Just kept blowing
it is
up.
A far better movie. Than the Batman versus Crapman movie.
And that's why that guy was mad, because his family died in the big explosions that the Avengers caused.
Right. Much better movie.
Yeah. I just, what I'm saying is I feel really bad for the
Yeah, no, for the extras. Oh, they're so screwed. They're very right. I don't know how you tell that to like your kids if they go to watch the movie and, oh, dad's in this movie. He gets killed in the first 5 minutes.
Mm. No, you just say, no, he's next to the building that fell. He's fine.
He's under there.
Okay. According to this, what is this, Apocalypse Not? It seems that do you think you're more likely to survive if you're rich? I would think that for rich people
You're more likely to do everything better if you're rich.
I think as long as you've developed the skills, though, you can't there's no one to do things for you.
Well, right. That part, yes.
Right? They're used to having people do things
for
them.
But if you bought enough things with your richness before the apocalypse happened, you have all those things, and then people will come to you for the things, not just the money. Thanks. So, like, if you own a helicopter and it's on your lawn, mm-hmm. the guy who knows how to fly helicopters will come and be like, I'll save you guys and myself by flying this.
See, exactly. But again, you have all that stuff. People might come at you to just take them and then
shove you off.
So, yeah, no, they don't care anymore.
Before the apocalypse, I have armed guards and stuff.
Yeah, but they're going to run away. They don't care.
Yeah, once the apocalypse happens, they're going to run away.
Money
but my pilot
useless.
Guy is already going to be flying me into the air.
It would be handy to have the pilot guy in a lot of money.
Exactly, well, yeah. Anyway. And just keep him on staff, pay him for a while.
Now, would you, if you had a lot of money, would you go to this basically apocalypse training ranch in Montana?
Do you shoot zombies?
They're sort of 3D holograms of zombies.
I would want them to be like full people zombies.
Oh, you want people dressed as zombies?
And I'd
want to
paintball them.
That's a lot of money when you dress somebody up and shoot them.
Well, you're rich.
It's a lot of money.
I didn't mean shoot them for real. I meant like paintball shoot them. You know?
Just curious. I just want to make sure. I'm wondering how rich.
I don't want the amount of money to play the most dangerous game. I just want like paintball situations.
Just curious. So for $1,420 a night per person during peak season, you can go and learn how to survive the apocalypse in Montana at the Paws Up Resort. Yeah.
Is it just me or is that adorable? Paws up.
I know.
I'm just imagining puppies.
Yeah, dogs. Oh, we're having their bellies scratched?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
paws
just on
up.
Their backs, like, pet me.
I just think, like, if an apocalypse comes, you paws up.
Well, number 8 on this list is a paw cop. I can't even say it.
Apocalypse. There it is. For dogs.
There it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they give you some tips on how to have your dog survive the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he probably would survive better because they just run.
No.
Don't they for the most of they go, see you later.
Without any planning, running is a huge error.
Again,
in the apocalypse.
In disaster movies and action movies, aren't you always like just pulling for the dog? Like, I don't care about anybody else in the
and
movie.
And the children.
As long as the dog makes it.
Right.
Well, generally, it's the kid's dog. So they have that extra weight of don't let the kid's dog die.
The kids make it, too, usually.
You know what you have to worry is the cats.
They never save the cats.
Because they can't really get out of buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if you shut the door, they're kind of stuck in there. At least the dog could probably scratch his way through things.
Yeah, come on, come on. Yeah, cats are kind of like they're under the bed.
Yeah, they're like,
what's that noise? They can barely survive the vacuum cleaner. They are not surviving the apocalypse. Saying. I don't know. So this is a resort where people go to pretend like they might survive the apocalypse, but really it's very schmancy.
I don't think the apocalypse is coming anytime soon, right?
Well,
there'd be warning.
I'd say look out for in your ear.
Okay. We'd be able to prepare a little bit, right? It's not like a sudden apocalypse. It's not like apocalypse.
If it's the rapture, I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, the rapture, but everybody dies, right?
I think so.
There's no way to survive the rapture.
Well, if movies have any bearing on that, you know, the people float up and then you get to stay and you're just around.
Okay. Yeah. But I'm talking practically about the apocalypse here. It's not going to be a surprise apocalypse, right? We would all have time to prepare for it.
Well, I'm assuming there's already been foreshadowing of that.
We have not gone to the same meetings as Esmeralda.
Right, okay. She seems like she's going to the better meetings. Mm.
Mm. I don't, what prep would you do if you were given advance notice?
Okay, if they told me, like, if, for example, there's a month and then everybody dies.
Right.
I would try, like they say in this article, to find a really desolate area where I might be able to forge for myself.
But if everybody knows, they're all going to look for desolate areas.
Well, but they're not going to look for my specific desolate area.
You have to hope that they're procrastinators.
What's the thing that's going to kill you, though?
Right.
Like,
is it a disease? Is it just mayhem?
Yeah.
Because if it's a disease, mayhem. You might as well just spend all your money, have fun, and just party the whole month.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea as well. Just have a good time. Kick it up. And I also think you get killed by other people for your resources. If you're able to tip your hand and show anything that you've, you know, stored up supplies or something like that, would you get weapons?
Are you kidding? Of course I'd get weapons. I'd get all kinds of weapons.
Patrick, do you have information that we don't have that you perhaps you're privy to? We should know, Patrick?
I think the apocalypse is coming the second Tuesday in November.
Have you seen the bumper sticker, the sort of election bumper stickers that say, I choose a meteor?
No.
People are selling bumper stickers, or else it's a meme. I'm not sure, but it looks like a bumper sticker that looks like a the red, white, and blue kind of election stickers, but it says, I choose a meteor. I choose red wine, I think is where I'm going.
There you go, box of wine.
That's a box of wine. Now we're talking. Thank you, Patrick. I hope it's not the apocalypse. But some people think either way, whether it's Hillary or what's his name?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Never heard of the other
guy.
Yeah. So, by the way, a box of wine, fingers, you can carry that. A box of wine you can carry in a backpack really awesomely.
Yeah.
So that's a good call.
Can you have to have one of those like tubes, sort of a straw?
Yeah, exactly, to get it right to your mouth.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right to your mouth. The end of the world as we know it. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Hey, we're getting some new friends on our Patty V Show page on Facebook. So go to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. You can search that, Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, and you should pop up on our Facebook page. There you can see a copy of the letter we received from Marianne, who wanted us to know her displeasure. I mean, it seems like a displeasure. I could be reading it wrong. Sometimes you see something and it feels like an attack. And perhaps, you know, maybe I'm just hearing the tone as being somewhat angry. Oh, no, she calls me a foul mouth.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. All
right. I don't know how you'd read this positively. How proud you must be.
Should be. Yeah, I should be. See, because it like should be, right? I should be proud. She's like encouraging me to be proud, almost. Being known for saying penis more than anyone else on radio.
A real tribute to you.
To me.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, so how is it a tribute to me?
I'm not sure.
How real tribute to you.
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
But do you see the apostrophe on your son's?
She put a lot of like little dashes.
Yeah.
It's not really
in the underlining. I like that she doesn't write out the entire word with, but double underlines here. If I were your mother, I would have washed out your mouth /soap, right? So she doesn't say the word with, just it's the only place.
Is this written in pen? It looks really colorful. Is it like purple?
It is. I think it was here. I have it right here. I have the original.
Okay.
Yeah. And on the outside of the letter, by the way, it says two quotation marks penis Patty Vasquez.
Oh.
I don't think penis is a good nickname for
me. No, I don't think so.
Doesn't it usually go Pat? It would be Patty penis Vasquez.
Vasquez, yes. I do agree with the listener. It says I should be Patty vagina Vasquez.
Yes.
Well, that's just Patty V.
Patty V.
I think Patty V works.
Right.
I actually thought about changing my name to Patty V years ago. She didn't even realize.
Wait, you would change your name to just
the letter V. Yeah.
You wouldn't put like VEE or anything. It would just be V.
I could have, I guess, but would be like, but then it would be like Z. Like,
oh, you're right. Okay.
Didn't she? I think her name's different. She changed it to ZE. I think just the letter is cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Patty
V. It's a little interesting, though.
There would be a lot of questions, though.
People would ask you constantly.
Yeah.
So did you grow up just as a V?
V? Yeah.
You're always a V?
Mm-hmm. So, well, I've always been a V. I've always been a big V.
Always been a big old V.
Yeah. Right. Let's see what else. Oh, a real tribute to you. Be sure your sons know this to brag to their friends. And by the way, this sentence sent me into, because I address each paragraph with a corresponding paragraph. And the way she phrased this led me to write a sentence that Griffin did not like the structure of. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going more for tone now, sweetie, at this point. So to Marianne, to your point, not only is my son aware, he actually helped me craft the sentence in response to
your grammar.
Gosh, he did. He really, mommy.
Is that the first time that's ever happened?
No, he often goes through. Okay. He's very good at grammar. I forgot a comma in here someplace.
When's the first? Do you remember the first time your son corrected your grammar?
Oh, I'd say about three. Oh, about. I would say it started when he was about 7 or 8.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Was that weird the first moment? Like, Griffin, no, you're wrong. Oh wait.
No, I was very proud.
Oh wow, okay.
I was incredible. No, I never felt like, and I know, because he never makes it. He's never condescending about it. He's just kind of like, here's something I know. I think I'll share it with you.
It's very matter-of-fact about it.
That's my favorite sentence you've ever said, that your seven-year-old son wasn't condescending when he corrected your grammar. He wasn't a dick about it or anything.
Well, that's the thing, is that he could be.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, all of his classmates call him a know-it-all. With them, I think he probably does have an air of superiority at times. You know, because he's like, at seven, he was testing into high school, right? You know? So, I mean, he could have. We just never thought that we, like, when he was four, we knew we could have tested him into grade school.
Wow.
And we didn't, because we knew it would be good for him to be the oldest in his class. So, because his birthday is early, he's one of those kids.
That is awesome.
So he's always the oldest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had cell phone pouches and IKEA on the
And that's not going back to our vagina story, even though some women did put their cell phones there. Why would you ever think that that was a good idea? Well, I mean, like, you're looking around, like, my bra, you know, but never, like, you know what I should do? Is it because they want to do that and then have someone call them on vibrate?
You can just put something else in there,
yeah,
that could vibrate.
Oh, there's so many good choices, you know?
Phone. Would you have to get one of those, like, those safety phones that just have fire department police?
Yeah. Yeah.
And one other number you can
have.
Yeah,
but what if you accidentally dial that and then they show up?
Like a ladybug. There we go.
Talk about a purse dial.
Because you can't put in one of those big ones. I mean, a note?
I mean, some women can, I guess. But then it's like, and then how do you use it after that?
It's very square.
Yeah, you have round edges on that. Do we have, we have Mary Rita? It's not Mary Ann. Hey, Mary, how are you doing?
Hi, Patty.
How you doing?
No, it's not Mary Ann. It's Mary Rita.
Thank you. Hi.
And I'm embarrassed to be in the company of a Mary Ann person. Holy mother of God. She needs to stop.
Well, and I've gotten letters before. Somebody asked why I bothered spending time on this. We get complaints. But this one was, when you drag in my kids and my mom.
I thought that. And yeah. You're a wonderful mom. You're a neat lady. I've never talked to you before, and I tried to comment on your page, and I couldn't.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. You can do it on our.
What I think is, I have an antiquated tablet. But with all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world, and I've been meeting people who say, "Oh, there's going to be the apocalypse."
I know it's hard to say.
And some man said, "Yeah, we're all going to be gone in 10 years." I thought. I think it's going to be sooner than that if Cheeto Man is elected.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's an excellent point. Griffin's got a lot to say about Donald Trump as well. He cracks me up. He's obsessed. Well, Griffin was going over the numbers with me today about how far behind he is in the polling. And I'm like, sweetie, it's a long election season. You got to strap yourself in. You can't live and die by every poll you see.
No.
No.
But the whole... I'm having trouble speaking over this.
Oh. No worries.
Do I have to get drugged up so I can... Maybe I should just have a cocktail.
There you go. Oh, you mean talking on the show?
Oh, no. I like to call in, and you're very kind. So.
Oh, my pleasure.
I just think you're such a neat lady. I mean, you went to Marine boot camp.
It was fun. Oh, yeah, that reminds me.
My brother was in the Marines. I've been listening to you for a long time. I've just never really called in.
Oh, I'm glad you did. Well, for calling in for the first time, will you hold on the line so Craig can get your information and send you a Lou Malnati's?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
sure.
Get a pizza. Get your pizza on, please.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Lou Malnati's. Wow.
Yeah, enjoy that. Thank you, Mary Rita. Call us anytime. I look forward to hearing from you again.
I will. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mary Rita. See, you never know if someone's going to kind of fly under the radar. I've always been surprised we don't have more people that try to get through and say things that aren't that are untoward, Esmeralda. But for the most part, everyone seems to have a good time.
Yeah, you would think someone would yell or, you know.
It happened a long time ago, and Craig actually helped me work my way through hostile listeners. So that and I mean, sometimes I probably have to have, I probably sound a little too syrupy so that it comes across as condescending, but it's actually me not going to my instincts of rage. Sometimes, do you ever do that? Where you're like, I'm just going to fight against the actual emotion, and whatever comes out, it's going to have to be the best I can do in this situation, in this moment.
That's real hard.
I know it is.
That's very hard to do.
A lot of practice. Well, because hostility, and the reason I wrote my letter the way I did, when people are hostile or aggressive or poke me, when they're jabbing at me, I'm like, really? This is what you want to spend your time on? All right, let's do this. You want to play? My pleasure. Let's do this. It makes me laugh. I know people. It's unexpected.
unintended consequences is what I call it, Esmeralda. When someone gets mad about one thing and they're enraged about it, not realizing what they're actually going to do is, you know, trigger something else. So everybody, once again, if you did not like the segment where we set the record for saying vagina the most times, I encourage you to find Marianne in Wisconsin and thank her. Just say, hey, you know, yes, Craig?
Helen just called in real quick. She said that she's been up all night. She's got kind of a medical issue going on. And thank you so very, very much for being funny and crazy. Just so you know, she's very excited. She stayed up all night to listen to the show. Plus, she's got something going on, but yeah. Thank you.
No, I am loopy. I am a little bit... It was when you sit around with your family trying to figure out how to respond to an angry letter, you know that... I mean, and the thing is, like, I don't respond to ugly things online, but someone took the time to write me a handwritten letter, and I thought it deserved my attention.
That deserves a response, by the way, from the 7732 in caps. Go Griffin! That's good.
Oh, he's so cool. My kids are both very, very cool. It's summertime, and I'm trying to figure out some different things. We're thinking about going to Canada for a
vacation. Griffin a camp kid? Does he like the idea of camps?
Not even a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
His friends are going to like sleepaway camp. I went to Girl Scout camp every summer for 6 summers. I loved it. I like to think it's because he doesn't want to leave us. We're just fun parents to be around. Not that my parents were people that, let's face it, my parents and I needed a break from each other. It was just nice to get a little, you know, change of scenery. So it was very fun. I wish that he would want to go to camp just for that confidence building. No, I don't want him to leave us. I love having him at home with us. But I kind of became very confident and independent when I went to Girl Scout camp. There is something about being around only girls. You know, and doing all kinds of things I'd never had access to, canoeing and sailing and horseback riding and archery. I did archery. I shot bows and arrows.
Were you good at it?
No.
Okay.
I was going to say, you're going to be one step ahead of us in this apocalypse.
Right. So, no.
But that's, apparently not.
But I can forage and fish and paddle a canoe. I don't know how many canoes are going to be available during
you
the apocalypse.
Forage?
Forage.
Really? For anything? Like berries, all that stuff?
Not anymore. I'm okay. Out of practice.
All right.
I think we should go to, there must be someone that can train us.
Foraging camp?
Not just foraging, but a survivalist training.
That's true.
I mean, just in general.
Yeah.
If you get lost in a forest.
I like that.
These ideas would be good. You Isn't know, it? Where the moon is.
And the moss growing on the trees.
Right.
Yeah, that way is north, I believe. Yeah.
Just give up. You get lost in a forest now and just give up.
No,
just
I went camping once. Yeah. For a weekend, and me and my friend, two of us, we went walking, and we kind of got lost. It started getting dark, and then someone finally found us, and they're like, if you had kept walking this way, you would have kept going and going and going, and they took us back to where we were, the camp, and I just started to cry,
because
I was like, we were lost.
Yeah, you were screwed.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
For the most part. I mean, we probably would have gotten back.
No,
but still, I was frightened.
Did you feel traumatized for a while?
No, I was just like, that was very scary. We didn't know how to get back.
You
My
were
friends
moments
were trying
from
to
death.
Be all cool about right. it. I was like, no, we were going to be stuck.
Yeah.
We were never going to come back.
I would give up. Lost in a forest, it's
and
over.
It was a forest preserve, so it wasn't even like...
I got lost in a cemetery.
How do you get lost?
That doesn't sound good.
She kept circling around the one obelisk.
Yeah, exactly. It just kept losing our sort of sense of direction. There's a cemetery on Foster Avenue near Northeastern Illinois University that's very big.
The Bohemian?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw it from afar. I was walking around there today.
I now actually enjoy walking through cemeteries. I find them very peaceful. But we had a camp counselor. My mom was a student at Northeastern, and I was in Kitty College. At Northeastern. And the counselor wanted to take us. I think it's like the park that's on the other side of, what's that cross street? Is it Pulaski? Foster and Pulaski there?
Yes.
And we were supposed to go to the park, and he wanted to take a shortcut on an angle through the cemetery back to Kitty College. And we lost our way a little bit. And
that's also how you get eaten by zombies.
It really is. I mean, I didn't
One of
really.
The many ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't really. I think I've blocked a lot of it. I felt like we walked forever. I should ask my mom about this. Ooh, you know what we should do? We should have my mom on the show and ask her what she thinks about the fact that I now hold the records for saying the word penis and vagina.
I agree.
Let's but as I mentioned, my mom says she was not going to wash my mouth out because she was. I was too tired, and you were funny as F. She actually said the actual word. She was laughing today about how we used to goof around. My mom and I used to joke around about swearing. Like, we would exchange swear words, And I would come home and say, listen to what I heard today. I don't give a fly. And my mom would say those things. And it was just really funny to us. And my dad would say things like, don't ever let me see you swear. And I would like cover my mouth and, all right, I'm talking about. Because it's words. That's what my parents taught me. They're words. And there are far worse things you can do. More after this on 720 WGN. Wake me up. I'm a little bit excited about this one. We're not going to say who we're calling because I think we should just go ahead and place this call every night just before the end of our show, before we sign off. We place a phone call, and we don't know if we're going to get a voicemail, if we're going to get an answer. We were so surprised last night. Esmeralda, I've never heard someone blush when we talked to Tracy Butler last night. That was a lot of fun.
I geek out when it's like TV celebrities because, you know, you grow up with a lot of, or you see them on TV, so you're like, whoa.
And so many of them are really sweet people. Hello. Hello, Annabella Wong!
I have to say penis, huh?
Well, if you're going to text me these words, I think that what did you call your son's part?
Colita.
Colita. That's kind of cute. I feel bad that I've made you think that you shouldn't call it Colita anymore.
Well, the thing is that we also call Amelia's vagina Colita. So I think we need
what?
To switch it.
That's confusing, darling.
It's confusing, and they're bilingual, and they call both things the same thing. No, actually, they call the butt the tushy.
They call the butt the tushy. I think that's remember? I think that's cute. But my mom always called it the pompis.
La pompis, sí.
Pompis.
Pompis, sí. You can't even say pompis. Ay, Dios mío.
I can't say pompis. My mom's going to be so mad when she hears this podcast. I said pompis.
Sure,
so you're getting up today to do CLTV? You're anchoring?
Yes, Courtney Hall had the day off last week, they told me. It was like a toss-up. It's like either you wake up at 1 in the morning to do to anchor CLTV, or you go to Joliet to the racetrack at 4:30.
Okay.
I don't know who got the better end of the deal, me or Thomas Tulo. I don't know.
Well,
but here I am with rollers on, already stuffed with Dunkin' Donuts. The guy thought, wow, you're a pricey hooker.
There's no shade. There's at almost 2 in the morning, anything goes at the Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, good. Is that true?
That's absolutely true. That goes without a doubt. No shame.
Am I on the air?
Yeah, you are. You're on the air.
You know, Craig, before you used to call me ahead of time and let me know.
Yeah.
Hold on one second. For legal purposes, Annabella Wall, you are on WGN
you
Radio.
You were live on the air for the last 5 to 10 minutes.
Yes.
Right? All the pompies.
All the pompies. Did they call the pompies at your house?
No, we're awful and we call them nalgas.
Nalgas. That's what we call them at the Belleval's house, but at my, you know, at our house, the Vion's house, it's fishy because we like to, you know, say some things in Hebrew. I know it's not Hebrew, but.
Wait, why is nalgas bad, Esmeralda?
It's just more of like a...
Are you going to say vulgar?
Not vulgar, but it's like, no. Ooh. It's you know, like tush bumpies is like cutesy.
Yes, babyish.
Yes.
Yes.
I just realized that everybody can help me with this. What is a pompito?
I have no idea what that is.
Pompito?
Yeah, like a pompito, like, you know.
A little butt, maybe.
Okay.
Could it
so
be?
That's not a good thing then,
really
right?
You're saying it, Craig. You like sound really cute. You but probably don't sound as cute saying penis, but...
I do not. I do not. Is that a good thing, then, to have a small butt? No, right? It's a negative.
Pompito,
no.
Pompito, I mean, can be cute, too, with a...
baby.
Okay. Because, like, some of Betty's family have referred to me as Pompito before, and it doesn't seem like a compliment. I'm just curious what everybody's
it's
thinking here.
It's better than Gui.
It's better than what?
Gui.
What's Gui?
It's like a...
It's a horse.
No.
Well, the technical term.
Buey is like a donkey.
Oh, donkey, there you go.
Buey, it's a Mexican term to like, I don't know how to translate
You
that.
Hear it a lot in kitchens.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But it's essentially, you're calling like someone bro, guy.
Bro, dude.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm learning a lot.
The C word is Esmeralda, which we shouldn't say on the air. That's really bad. If they call you the C word.
That's in English, too, but I'm guessing it means mm-hmm. something different
yeah,
in Spanish.
It means something very different.
I don't think
different.
You should get the record for that one.
No, okay. No. Do you have a request for another word I should set the record for?
Yeah.
I like that she's going through her like her Rolodex of words.
Yes, I am. I'm translating too. I'm like,
Have you ever posted or and it sort of responded to a letter like this? You get a lot of mail, I'm guessing, at WGN Television.
I was thinking about it when you were saying it, and you were saying that you were compelled to answer. We are encouraged most of the time not to engage crazy.
It's too late now.
It's just like a little too late for that, Anna. Yeah, that's really good advice.
Oh, boy.
A little bit behind.
This lady wrote a letter, so that means she probably doesn't have access to social media. So it'll take a while by the time the U.S. Postal Service delivers the answer.
Well, she gave me no return address. In the same way, your coworker posted a letter that went viral, as a matter of fact.
I have a very thin skin. I should have a thicker skin. So I don't read. I read the comments on my Facebook page, which are usually positive, and then I zero in, like the good stand-up comedian I am, too, on the bad one, right?
Yeah.
On the one that said something I'm not doing right, or the proposition I used wrong, or that I should be working at Telemundo again, even though I work at television. So those things, like, I zero in on them, and so I try to avoid them. I do reply when they accuse me of something. I do. I'm very polite. I kill them with kindness, but I do reply those. And I don't read the general comments on the WGN page.
Right, because those aren't your fans.
I'm going to find the racists and
right.
the haters and the people who are emboldened by a computer, you know?
That's the thing. It's the emboldening part. And Marianne just sort of innocuously sent a letter. But I thought, well, I'll do something with this because to me, she probably represents other listeners who are completely annoyed with the content of the show. They continue to listen, and I appreciate that. Maybe they're waiting for it to make sense to them. I'm not sure.
Like your mother.
Yes. She's so funny. My mom was, honestly, she was having a good time reading the responses on my Facebook page. I can't say some of them. She was laughing so hard. It was great. I really enjoyed it.
I think that you have a major point. And seriously, I read your answer and I'm like, we should just call it by the correct name. And have you heard about Pat Thomasulo's campaign to be able to say balls and testicles on the air?
No, I have not. I feel like we should join forces.
The hashtag, I think it's like free the balls.
How am I not involved in this movement?
And the free the ball movement?
It was trending about 2 weeks ago. I didn't know this, but apparently, because I apparently was one of the first reporters to call my breast boobs on the air because it's an ESL issue. It's an English as a second language issue. It just comes out like that.
Right. So can you use that as coverage?
Say it again?
Can you use that as coverage? Like ESL is like, well,
My husband says the statute of limitations is over because I've been speaking English since I was in kindergarten. And though it was in Puerto Rico, but it was still English. And I've been here for 20 years and I was a college year. He's like, you work in English. I think it's done.
But Anna, do you dream in English or in Spanish?
Both.
Yes. See, so it's not the statute of limitations because your brain still operates that way.
No. So anyway, apparently you cannot, they don't want you to say on the air, balls are, and testicles are both, even though Thomasulo was claiming that it was the proper term.
Right.
Balls is definitely the right term.
Well, not for doctors don't say how do your balls feel today.
They say that all the time. Like your balls doing okay?
They do not.
You have to be like, yeah.
Am I gonna get in trouble for it's 2 a.m.
No, you're fine.
No. Why would you get in trouble? Safe it's Harbor. My show. You're fine. Yeah, coverage. ESL.
ESL, it's all ESL.
Listen, it's the best excuse. It's also like Puerto Ricans will always tell you they're Puerto Ricans. In 10 minutes into the conversation, even if it's good or bad, because that's how we justify it. I'm very smart, I'm beautiful because I'm Puerto Rican, or listen, I'm loud and they kick me out of places because I'm Puerto Rican.
Well, because of you're talented, you'll be on the 3 a.m. broadcast for CLTV. Anna, we have to run. We're going to call you again. Let me know when you're up like this. I love it.
I'm killing it on CLTV, girl. People are watching me and my accent.
Oh, they're watching you because you're wonderful.
I love you.
I love you, too.
It's always cool to talk to you, Esmeralda Craig.
Nice to meet you in person, Esmeralda.
I know, it was exciting.
Esmeralda's all blushing again. I love this.
I was like a groupie.
Go to work. Thank you, Annabella. Of course. I'm glad you texted.